aboard, you people. It is the Starship Rokan Show. Offer another day of broadcast insolence and information. Because in a moment like this where it's critical, we have to be serious about information. Although, I must admit, I am panicked. And apparently I have created panic genetically. Because my daughter, who is an adult, fully functioning adult, called me to say goodbye earlier today. Just to say, you know what, it was nice knowing you. I think we're all going to die. And I thought, well, you know, that is a chip off the old block, is what that is right there. That apple has fallen right next to the tree. Everybody hysterical. All right, so I also, speaking of family, I have a story coming up a little bit later on about something that happened to me last night, and I don't quite know what to do with it. Not quite sure how to handle it. I had found family photos, and
oh boy,
yeah, and I was going through. There were slides, like our parents or grandparents used to have these slides, and would be a slideshow, and you have to sit there and watch their vacation from 1952. Well, when my dad passed away this year, he had boxes and boxes and boxes of them, so. So I took them to go get digitized to see like what's on them, and well, I found something, and I'm not sure what to do with it. That's I'll just say that, and I'll share that coming up a little bit later on in the program, because I'm not sure what I should do, because I can't look at everybody the same way. After I saw one of these slides. Because, you know, they used to have these slides. They would, like, you know, like the projector, like they would have the cartridges that would go on the projector. Not the wheel, but they had, like, an actual cartridge. It's an old-time projector. And so they would show, you know, like in these things when I was a kid, like, you know, once every couple of months they would do this. And I realized there was, like, an entire cartridge of slides I'd never seen before.
That you weren't supposed to see?
Apparently not. Probably not good for the kids or the other relatives, or and maybe just people coming over to the house to see the slideshow. Because that passed for entertainment back in the 1970s. You had three channels to choose from, or you went to somebody's house, you got crocked, and you watched a slideshow. This, I would tell you, though, this would have been a game changer. In the 4 o'clock hour, I'll get into that. I'm sorry I'd have to make you wait that long. We got important stuff. Let me play this for you first. The DuPage County and Cook County and Illinois State Health Departments had a press briefing today because we have now the first human-to-human transmission of the coronavirus, the Wuhan coronavirus, here in Illinois, in DuPage County.
Today, the CDC, the Illinois Department of Public Health, Cook County Department of Public Health, and the Chicago Department of Health are confirming the second case of novel coronavirus here in Illinois. I want to start by saying that the risk to the general public remains low.
Oh. Okay. That's what she says. I mean, and I hate to be, you know, like from the office, but that does not make me feel better.
The second case is a Chicago man and is the husband of the first confirmed case in Illinois, a woman in her 60s who returned from Wuhan, China on January 13th. This second case did not travel to China, making this the first person-to-person transmission of the novel coronavirus in the United States.
Congratulations, Chicago. Congratulations. Now, they say a Chicago man, but we're also being told this happened in DuPage County, right? So
I believe they're in the hospital in DuPage County. I don't know exactly where they live.
Now, why would they go to the hospital in DuPage County if they're from Chicago? I need to know where they're from, people. I need to know if they are next door neighbors. That's what I need to know.
Well, apparently the CDC says today that if you haven't had direct person-to-person contact with that person for 10 minutes or more, you're not at risk.
For 10 minutes? What is that? What,
you have
how
to talk to somebody
that?
For 10 minutes. That's what they said. You
I don't
have
talk
to
be anybody
in
for
close
10
contact
minutes.
With them for 10 minutes.
Yeah, but there are now, they're saying there's 21 individuals right now that are being evaluated for this.
Their cases are under investigation. Yes.
Right. Cases are under investigation. 21 individuals. So where would they have gotten it? Right?
They could be healthcare workers who've come into contact or other family members. They say that both of these people who have been definitely confirmed to have the virus have not taken public transportation. They haven't been in large crowds. So that's why they say the risk is very low. They're talking about close personal friends or family or healthcare workers.
Okay.
So I think you're okay right now.
How long am I going to be okay, do you think?
Well, it could be a while because they said also that it takes 2 to 14 days for the virus to finally
see. That's the thing.
Come out. So that's the problem.
And they don't. And that's the issue with this is you don't necessarily have to be presenting symptoms to be transmissible.
Correct. And they don't put you into isolation until you have symptoms.
I'm going into isolation right now. Lauren Lapka's got the WGN traffic and the weather.
Surprise, surprise! It's cloudy out there.
A new suburban mayor promised to clean up crime and corruption, but some changes are creating tension. WGN TV investigates tonight at 9.
Okay, Joe Donlan is from the WGN TV, and that's a Ben Bradley investigation, right?
It is, yes.
He's off working on that. I noticed he wasn't on the set for the impeachment trial, which you guys have been covering, or you guys have had on throughout the morning session, and then once you get in the afternoon, tend to break away from
it. I don't know all the details on Ben's story, but apparently the promo has broken the internet.
I'll bet. Well,
it has,
you know,
something to do. I'll just say swingers club. That's all I know.
Yes, and strip clubs.
Yes,
and in the south suburbs, that and strip club owners that are very upset.
Yes,
very upset about new rules being put in place. In terms of their business
cracking
operation.
Down. Yes,
yes.
Exactly.
Exactly right.
That's going to be on tonight at 9.
Yes, yes. So that, I'm just
cracking the whip, so to speak.
Yes,
bro.
I'm just going to say that that's, you know, one of those stories that it really has been written all over it.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so going to get right on that.
Yes.
Today is Thursday, is it not?
Today is Thursday.
Today is Thursday.
I have to
that's
ask
right.
myself that.
That's right. Today is Thursday.
Though.
Thursday. This would be the Thursday. This is the last Thursday of January. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And so we're seeing a television story about a strip club in the south suburbs.
Yes, exactly. The first day of ratings, if you must.
That's where I was going. All right,
yes.
Now, let me say, but it is a good story, because Ben sent me the script for my approval,
okay.
And I would say that it is going to be very interesting, because the south suburbs, it's, you know, it's one of those areas that's got a lot of strip clubs and not a whole lot of residents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the strip club to resident percentage is like 1-to-1. You know, it's like one of those kinds of towns. And they just don't like, there's an entire quadrant of the Chicago southern suburbs that the management of those suburbs, the officials, the governmental officials,
mm-hmm.
they just don't like when other people tell them what to do. Like the state or the county or the federal government sometimes. You know, and they have a different way of operating. And you could just sort of throw a dart in a little quadrant. This in the western suburbs too, that's like, and in the northwest, you can find this. There's little pockets where like all of the adjacent communities decide that they are going to be part of one gigantic criminal conspiracy. And that is, and the feds are looking into these kinds of things. So I just want to say that this particular story happens near there.
Right.
Near there. So
yes, you're doing a great job of teasing and promoting this story.
Yes,
for us.
Yes, I know.
Right?
You're going to want to see this tonight on the WGN TV News at 9 with Ben Bradley. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I understand our conversation was well received yesterday.
I'm sure it was. I didn't get any information back on that, but I'm sure. Was there something? Did we do something?
No, our conversation about the situation on the South Side and how to improve it.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, let's talk about that. You know, we talked about the job that Chicago police have to do when they go into situations, they get the 911 call. That story yesterday of the police officer who was shot in the hand, wrist, mm-hmm. hand, you know, lower arm.
Right.
While undercover, and he happened upon a shooting that was in progress.
He saw it, yeah.
Right. And so then he followed. He didn't immediately rush in. He followed in his vehicle the fleeing shooter from that vehicle. And the person that was shot was killed in that. This is on the west side in West Garfield Park. Because we were talking about Garfield Park in our conversation yesterday. And then while we were having the conversation, this incident was happening, literally.
Yeah.
And then the Chicago police officer followed this guy and was, you know, radioing back and is explaining what the position is. The guy realized he was being followed, got out of his car. The officer got out of his car, and then there was gunfire fired from the shooter in the first place. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that the police officer had actually withdrawn his weapon at this point and was shot in the wrist. Called, you know, said he was, you know, officer down. This guy took off in the car. Other police officers showed up. They decided they were going to just put him in the back of their car and take him right to the hospital. While they were on their way to the hospital with the guy bleeding in the back, they encountered the car
right.
of the shooter. And then the coppers in the front seat said to the injured officer in the back seat, "Do you want to go straight to the hospital or should we go get this guy?" And the injured officer said, "Go get this guy," and actually helped in the arrest
right.
of the guy.
How about them?
That is an amazing thing.
Yeah, they're not releasing a lot of information, but he is still in the hospital being treated the last we checked.
Right. And one of the things that I know there are charities throughout the Chicago area that try to, you know, help make sure that police officers are properly outfitted with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The Chicago Police Memorial Foundation does vests,
right.
tactical vests for police officers. But there is another organization here that has been buying these medical kits for the cars.
Right.
And that is, I think, the Chicago Police Foundation, I think is the name of it. And what they do is they buy these medical kits so that sort of the same kind of stuff that medics in the field
sure,
or soldiers in the field
right.
carry that have these packs that allow you to, you know, quickly stop bleeding and, you know, things like that so that you can, you know, save
tourniquets,
a life. Right, things like that. And we don't have any information about that, but in a situation being related to this particular incident, but in a situation like this, that is like the perfect thing to have.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a big move and announcement today from CPD about reallocating resources, which we'll see. It's a major announcement from Charlie Beck, the acting superintendent, who's now essentially adding resources to try to cut down on the violence, essentially giving more responsibility to deputy chiefs, district commanders, and then moving 1,100 gang and drug officers and detectives from specialized units basically directly to these districts. And they've added two areas as well. And I think the bigger picture here is to try to focus on the consent decree and also try to improve the relationship, which, as we all know, has been quite strained between communities and law enforcement.
Something else I noticed about yesterday's story, and this happened in West Garfield Park, of the responding units to this incident, there were a number of Cook County Sheriff's Police that mm-hmm. also responded to this. This is part of a program. It's a bit of a pilot program that is being run in a couple of neighborhoods in Chicago to see if the Cook County Sheriff's officers, additional law enforcement, could help in this. You know, actually marked mm-hmm. cars, lights on top, sworn officers, and these are some of the best trained. I mean, they're all well trained, but this is Chicago. The Cook County Sheriff's Office is not like it was 40 years ago or 50 years ago, where you know everybody just got a badge because they knew somebody. These are actually sworn officers now. They do real patrols. They handle real things throughout the unincorporated Cook County area, but they can also go in and assist in places like the place I just talked about. Some of those communities that are really hard hit in the southern
right.
suburbs. They're all over those. As a matter of fact, some of those don't even have police. The police departments have gone to jail, so the Cook County Sheriff's Office has to go down and handle that. Well, they're helping in the west side of Chicago as
yeah.
well, and they were there. And I know there's always been a schism between Chicago police and Cook County Sheriff's officers, but this is a moment where, you know, maybe there needs to be a little bit more of a folding in mm-hmm. of operations here, because everybody's on the same team when it comes to what they're trying to do.
Right. Well, the last time I talked with Sheriff Dart, he said that they had moved some of their personnel into an old building over there on the west side
right.
for their office spaces. And he says it's made a big difference in crime in that neighborhood. It's really helped cut down just by their sheer presence.
Yeah, I think, you know, in this case, I don't think more officers on the street, more law enforcement on the street is a bad idea. I know they were talking about having feds come in and do some of the stuff, you know, DEA agents and you know, maybe FBI, depending on what they'd be assigned to. But that's ATF. Those are appropriate things to do, too. Anything
right.
that will stem this that is legal is good by me. So,
well, you know, and we talked yesterday about that professor from the University of Toronto who had written a book about this. It's called America, the Beautiful and Violent. And he told me that the justice system isn't necessarily the fix here. You can't arrest poverty away. It's the catalyst for all different types of violence. But I think what we're seeing from the CPD here with this announcement is at least an effort and an acknowledgement that something more needs to be done in these communities. Because it's interesting, too, coming from Charlie Beck, I asked this professor, Chicago gets a lot of criticism, some of it fair, a lot of it maybe not. We all know it's bad, but L.A. and other New York big cities is not as bad. So what have they figured out? And he said building relationships between police and communities is key. And he feels like they've done it better there. You know, the majority of crimes, as we talked about yesterday, Ro, are solved because of neighborhood collaboration.
Right. Yeah.
So these relationships are key.
No question.
In addition to investing in schools and jobs and, you know, giving individuals positive images of themselves in these communities that historically haven't.
And something else I think that is absolutely true and needs to be addressed here at the not only the legislative level but the state's attorney's level in Cook County is that in New York, in New York City, and that obviously you've got the New York City municipal code and then you've got state law in New York, and as it is borough by borough, as it is enforced, if you're caught with a weapon, right, or you use a weapon in a crime, and or you have a weapon on you during the commission of a crime, mm-hmm. it's an automatic minimum of 3 years in jail.
Right.
Right? So that's the idea, that goes against this whole, like, incarceration thing. Okay, fine. For drug-selling offenses and things like that, especially since we've now legalized marijuana and all of that, I understand that, or diverting younger kids who are involved in stuff. But you got a weapon, that's got to be the enforcement issue. That's all of the mercy has to stop right there.
Well, it is a complicated, situation and solution, as we know, Ro. If it were easy, we would have figured it out by now. But I think we're already now seeing with Mayor Lightfoot's Invest Southwest, $750 million, trying to invest and rebuild these communities that have been disinvested for the most part. But, you know, this policing issue, there are some who feel these neighborhoods are over-policed, and that's part of what leads to the problem. But on the other hand, you have people who say there are not enough officers there right. to take care of the issues that they have. So I feel like Charlie Beck and CPD at least are trying to make an impact or make a change anyway. And we'll see. They've tried to make changes in the past, but this one's pretty significant and pretty dramatic. And even, the activist Andrew Holmes, we all know about, is applauding the move, saying that police are going to be able to concentrate more now on a smaller portion of the communities they serve. Let's hope it helps.
Joe Donlan, WGN-TV News. See you starting at 5 o'clock tonight.
All right. Take care, Ro.
Thanks. All right. Plus, the news starts at 4 o'clock with Ben Bradley. And you'll see that special tonight. Ben Bradley has it 9 o'clock tonight about strip clubs in the southern suburbs being told to do something they don't want to do. But first, let's check in now. Here's Kim Gordon with the WGN News. It's the Ro Con Show right here on 720 WGN. Coming up at the 4 o'clock hour, a horror that I came into last night that I found myself in, the situation that, I don't think anybody wants to go through, which is when you're going through family photos and you find something you shouldn't see. No one should ever see. Even the guy who took the picture shouldn't have seen. I will tell you that story coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. All right. Now, this is kind of a related story in some weird way. You got to follow me on this. There's a story about an app that now allows strangers to find your name, your info, with using your face, essentially, using a picture of you. And this is part of this artificial intelligence sweep that is being used. This kind of technology is the same sort of technology that's being used now by law enforcement, where they're able to maybe find somebody. They've been using this in casinos and airports for years, for the last number of years. Now, municipal police departments are using this. Let's say somebody robs a bank and they're going out of the bank, and they can follow them using their face to follow them to wherever they're going. and facial recognition, people are signing up without even realizing that they're signing up for facial recognition. And in some ways, I believe that's what the Real ID piece is about. And Jason Hinier is with us, and he is with our dear friends at CNET. So, Jason, let's explain this. I think I might have hit exactly the essence of this, but I might have missed a point. Go ahead and explain a little bit more clearly what it is that this artificial intelligence algorithm does, or what the technology does.
Sure. Yeah, thanks for having me on. So, you know, Clearview AI has become to light recently, and it's something that is freaking a lot of people out, because what it does is they have taken and scraped information freely available off the internet from places like Facebook, YouTube, Venmo, other sites, and created a database of 3 billion pictures that unearths sort of who people are and connects the dots and information about them. Just to put that in perspective, again, 3 billion pictures, the FBI has its own database. It's only 641 million images of U.S. citizens. So this thing is essentially about six times as big as what the five times as big as what the FBI has done. And they use this as a private app only used by law enforcement, some private and public, including the FBI, according to a report in the New York Times. And the problem with this, and there's a lawsuit in Illinois in district court, U.S. District Court in the Northern District of Illinois, that basically sums up, I think, the threat of this and the outrage pretty well, because it says that, you know, without obtaining any consent or without any notice, it's gathered all this information on American citizens without any reason to suspect them of any wrongdoing, and then used artificial intelligence to scan them and put them forward if there's a crime that's committed. And so that's where the problem comes in.
Okay, so Jason, let's talk about how they get these photos. They get them through social media. People sign up to be on social media, and people don't read because nobody actually could read, because you need a lawyer to sit next to you to read all of the terms and conditions for social media platforms that you just check, you just accept, right, and you move on. They basically own, they can do whatever they want with the images that you post on there, right? Like Facebook owns the stuff you put in there.
To a degree. So the one thing is, this specifically isn't in there, and Facebook themselves have been sued in Illinois. So the state of Illinois is the only one in the country that has laws against facial recognition. So you're right. You know, they essentially say, you sign up, we can do whatever we want with your data, by and large, except where there are laws in place. Illinois is one of the places where there are laws in place against this kind of broad facial recognition kind of software. So that's a case where what they've done is essentially illegal, and Facebook has settled with in a lawsuit that's been going on for a long time, since for over 5 years. Facebook recently settled this sort of, you know, $550 million was the settlement of, like, we're going to give this to the people for violating their privacy.
Okay, and let's talk a little bit about that, because that was a big story yesterday. It's a $550 million settlement for residents of Illinois who use Facebook. How will they know they're getting the money back? When's that money coming back? Do they have to apply for it? Has it just come to them? What goes on there?
Yeah, so what they've said so far is you don't have to do anything. If you are affected, that you will be contacted, and then you can be part of the settlement. Like a lot of these class action lawsuits where you end up getting, you know, $3.12 or something. Right. It's probably along those lines. But this is, it's just happened. Like you said, the news was especially prominent yesterday. We don't know much more than that yet.
All right. Jason Hinier from CNET. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. You did a much better job, sir, than explaining it than I did. And I appreciate that.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Jason Hinier from CNET. Lauren Lapka from WGN tells you about the roads and the skies. Right now, it's the Road Con Show, 720 WGN. We've got, we were just talking about this artificial intelligence situation that we are, I, it's very, to me, it's greatly controversial because I happen not to be as opposed to this as everybody else is. It is a system that uses your photos that you put up on social media, and then it's available to law enforcement to then do facial recognition, because facial recognition technology is now widely available and gets better by the minute, actually, as this, as the algorithm gets, you know, smarter and smarter and smarter and smarter, essentially, as the algorithm, you know, creates other algorithms that create other algorithms that, that really refine the process. So that if a bad guy, for example, robs a convenience store, police are trying to find him. They've got him on the security camera from the convenience store, and then they're able to run those images through a computer, and then that, those images will then lead to a path using other cameras, because there are cameras everywhere, right? So the guy, let's say he runs out on the street, he runs north. The cameras that he's running into north are going to know where he goes, gets into a car. Those cameras are going to follow him because they're going to be, there'll be plate readers on the car. They'll be able to figure out where it is. And the Chicago Police Department said in a statement, this is the jet fuel that helps Chicago police officers find the people that they are looking for who have committed crimes. Why would you get in the way of this? But in the meantime, the state law, written by guys who don't want to have their picture taken, which is most of the people in the state legislature, and that's for other reasons, that those, they said, you know, this facial recognition should not be legal in the state of Illinois, which has now resulted in Facebook getting sued. Class action suit. They've settled for $550 million, and that money is going to go to Facebook users in Illinois. Tom Shuba is with us. He is from the Chicago Sun-Times, and he's going to help us figure out two of the things here. First of all, let's start with the controversy about why this. Law enforcement says this is really good. There are some civil libertarians that say it's really bad. But I think a lot of citizens are going to be like, you know, so what? I put my picture up on social media. I assume that when I put my picture up, people are going to know what I look like, and that's, you know, I'm kind of volunteering to be in the public eye, and it's the same thing as appearing in public, like on a street. You have no right to privacy there.
Right, and I mean, like, you know, your expectation of privacy, I think people are having lower and lower expectations of privacy, given that, like, you know, just we have a huge camera surveillance system, right, that, you know, 35,000 cameras or something like in what they call the Federation of all of the city-owned cameras. So there is a surveillance happening. We are all part of these social networks where we're choosing to put ourselves out there on the internet and make information public through that. BIPA, the Biometric Information Privacy Act, I think it's called, 2008 law in Illinois, that's one of the like strongest biometric laws. Really, the idea of that is that just like it's about consent, right? So if companies want to use biometric information, whether it be photographs of your face or, you know, stuff related to your fingerprints or your iris scans or things like that, they need to get consent and they need to tell you how it's being used. And, you know, what's happening with this Facebook suit is, or potential settlement that still has to be approved in federal court in San Francisco, is like, you know, there wasn't consent. That's the issue here.
Well, all right. So there was no consent in their terms and conditions that we all just hit accept to anyway. We wouldn't know that. Nobody would know that. Not even a lawyer. I mean, there must be some lawyer who read. There's a lawyer who wrote it. There must be some other lawyer who read the terms and conditions for all these social media platforms anyway. But I don't think that we have an assumption, and they could put it into their terms and conditions moving ahead and say, listen, then you can't use Facebook in Illinois because our terms and conditions are that this now is going to be available. This is going to be, you know, this technology is might eventually be available to individuals. That's a little scary, right? That you'd be able to figure out where somebody is based on you know, their image. But I think once you go on social media, you open yourself up to anything, right? Because it's a choice you're making. No one's making you go on social media.
Right. And you know, in, I think you made a good point there in, like, signing up for a social media website. No one's reading through the terms and conditions for the most part. So you're tacitly, you know, accepting whatever terms they're putting on you. And what we have with BIPA here is, you know, a similar suit has been filed in connection with this Clearview AI facial recognition technology. So in Illinois, we have this very strong protection in place. And I'm sure moving forward, companies like Facebook and Clearview will probably just put in some sort of protections that, you know, have to do with consent and how the information is being used.
Yeah, well, I as a Chicagoan, I'm not really as offended by this because I know where I am. And most of the time, I'm where I'm supposed to be. And all the bartenders also know that I'm there. So that's going to be okay. But if somebody does, if this helps law enforcement get somebody who's done something wrong, I mean, what happens to them once they actually go into the Cook County criminal justice system, that's a little separate. But at least, you know, if the police are doing their job and able to stop somebody, grab them up, who's robbed somebody or has been involved in a shooting or any of those kinds of things that they can find, that this kind of technology would help with, you know, what's, you know, what I don't really understand what the problem is there, but
it, I guess to play devil's advocate, and this is kind of a point that would be made by civil libertarians, would be a case in which for some reason you were identified, and maybe it was for a crime that you didn't commit, and you were taken into custody, and you got involved in some sort of, you know, like Kafka-esque prosecution, right, of a crime that you didn't commit using, you know, this, you know, this sort of technology. I think that's where people are worried about protections, you know, mistagged photos or things of that nature, where, you know, the wrong person is getting pinged and getting arrested, yeah, and potentially brought into the criminal justice system, even though they have done nothing wrong.
Right. I just think that the chance of that, though certainly possible, right, and we know that, especially in the Illinois criminal justice system, that there have been a lot of mistakes made over the years, and a lot of there's been people railroaded, including railroaded onto death row. I totally understand that, but I don't know that this, the application of this particular item, will be enough to actually convict somebody. I think this is about grabbing somebody up, and then I think
absolutely,
there are other issues there, and that's
the, and I think that's the, kind of the conversation, right? And I think that's why the police department here was, you know, in terms of their use of this, they were pretty transparent in saying, yes, we got this technology. Here's how much we're paying for it. Here's why we think it's helpful for us to, you know, address the crime problem that we have in the city. You know, and I think it's going to be up to people, you know, to make up their own minds on it, whether they feel comfortable with it, and whether they feel like this is a good use of their taxpayer dollars.
Yes, well, I don't know that anybody ever goes to the town halls where their state legislators or state senators are holding a town hall except for the same five people over and over and over again. And I, and you know, how do you actually get a hold of them to make a difference? The other piece, I just want to clear this up. So this settlement with Facebook, with Illinois residents who are using Facebook, $550 million. You guys had a headline yesterday that, you know, it could be a couple hundred bucks per Illinois Facebook user, but this still has to be cleared by a court in San Francisco. There's a lot that can happen here between me and my $200, right?
Right. Yeah, and we'll see what the conclusion of it is. This suit was filed in Illinois like around 5 years ago, and it was moved to San Francisco. So yeah, there is like whatever this settlement in principle basically, and there needs to be a, you know, final approval, and then how exactly the money will be divvied up to Facebook users in Illinois attached to the class action will determine exactly how much cash goes to who. But I mean, it is, I mean, $550 million is a headline grabbing amount
yes,
of money.
Yes, there are a couple hundred bucks for somebody just, you know, sitting around going to your mailbox. That's pretty good too. Tom, thanks very much. Tom Shuba from the Chicago Sun Times. Thanks for helping us understand this story. We have got the WGN news from the Northwestern Medicine newsroom coming your way, and then a story that, well, I'm ashamed to tell, but I have to tell it.
We started with 64 Chicago films, and we're down to two. Who doesn't love a good championship? The ultimate Chicago movie cage match, and it's Ferris Bueller versus the Blues Brothers. Tune in tonight after 7 with me, Justin Kaufman, on 720 WGN.
Okay. It's the Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN. Okay. I started to tell the story at the very top of the show. I said I was going to do this in this hour, so I hope that you can all join me for this moment. Last year, Dad passed away, and I got a lot of his possessions. You know, I got which happens, right? Yeah, that's just what occurs. You get a lot of stuff that you haven't seen since you were a kid. You know, I was like in an attic, and now all of a sudden I'm cleaning out the attic, and I'm trying to figure out what I can keep. And I found these boxes of slides, which, you know, I don't know if Kevin and Lauren know what a slide is. Did you have slideshows when you were a kid?
Not personally at home, but
you know what
school.
They are, though. Yeah, right. Okay, it's cool. Right. Right. I guess depending on the school district, I suppose that's how that would go. But the slide, for those who don't know, you know, it's like instead of getting you take a picture with a camera, film camera, and instead of getting a picture that, you know, like a little 5x7 picture or whatever, photograph, you'd get a slide. It would be a little like 2-inch by 2-inch little cardboard box, and it would have an image in it, and you'd put it into a machine, and it would project it on a wall. Right. So when I was a kid, every 6 months or so, my family would either have people over or extended family would be over, and they would go through their slides. And as I learned, because at 35 cents a slide to get them digitized, we had over 2000 slides. I had no idea that we had that many. But I just took them to a company and gave it to them like, OK, you guys figure it out and then send it back to me. So I went through some of them, and I saw things I'd never seen before. I found a picture of, this is great for Lauren, I found a picture of a 1948 Purdue football game.
Oh, yeah, that's super cool.
Yeah.
Boiler up.
Yeah, from my dad, when my dad went to Purdue. So, and I found stuff from him in the military, all kinds of stuff from World War II, stuff from he was in Europe during the Cold War, stuff from there, stuff for the Vietnam era, stuff from in the 1980s when he was retiring out, that it was really, really, really cool stuff. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do with it. But then I found stuff of me when I was little and my sister when she was little and, you know, birthday parties and all of that and me with a little turntable. Okay, fine. These are all really nice. Now, all of a sudden, I land on a section of time that I was not aware of and I'd never seen in the slideshow parties that my family had. A lot of these came back to my memory. I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that picture. I remember I saw that when I was a little kid. Not this one. Not the set, at least, let's say. So they take place in Europe, and it's my dad and my mom. And it's like they're out, it's like over a day's period, right? Like they're taking a picture of themselves, like, yeah, you know, the having dinner or lunch or something. And they're on they're like walking in this, it might have been Spain, maybe. They're like over a bridge, and you're seeing like this great Spanish city in the background. And then there's, you know, water and something. And the next thing you know, now it starts to move indoors. And they're in a room. They're in a room, and it must be a hotel room, but like one of those from the 1950s, you would imagine a European hotel room. It looks like almost a bedroom in somebody else's house or whatever. And then all of a sudden, there's a picture of my mom on the bed. Now, she's clothed, clad, right, just sort of in a night wear kind of thing, but there's still daylight out, you know, it's a natural light, very Titian. And she's lying there on the bed, and she's got kind of this expression on her face. And I'm like, oh, my God, no. I mean, I was like, so I quickly move right past that.
Really? That's brave.
Well,
why would you keep going?
Well, because I figured that it can't be. I'm going. There's 2,000 images. What am I supposed to do? But I figured, okay, that's where that ends. No, I'm wrong. That's not where it ended. The next image is like in the window with a diaphanous kind of a thing, and there's like everything's on display. Everything.
Of your mother?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, when she was like 25 or something, whatever she was.
Tough to come back from that.
Oh, my God.
Well, maybe if you observe the picture a little more, you'll be able to tell just how old she was.
I don't want it. I went right back. I saw it, and it was like my brain snapped. And I'm like, oh, no. I said those words out loud, and then I just moved on to the next one. I called my daughter today, and we were having lunch, and I said, you're not going to believe what I saw about Grandma last night. I go, would you like to see it? She goes, absolutely not. I'm like, I just need to share it with somebody so
what?
That I can't
Why?
Be the only human.
That is horrible of you.
Well, you know, she's got the grandparent thing.
You want to see Grandma naked? Yeah, that's something to do.
Gather around, kids.
I don't know what to do with this, but now I know that it was like, you know, this company had it, and it was like, I don't know when you're, like, when you're doing that. Because people find things, right? I mean, you find things. I find all kinds of stuff, but now all of a sudden that, I'm like, oh my God, Mom! Put some clothes on! All right. Has this ever happened to you? 312-981-7200. Help me. Lauren's got the traffic and the weather. Con show right here on 720 WGN. All right, I told the story just a few minutes ago. I was going through my dad's stuff, passed away last year, and I found a bunch of slides. I had them digitized, and when I went through them, I found some things that were not in the family slideshows when I was 7 years old. And there were some NACO pictures of family members, specifically my mother. 312-981-7200. Has this ever happened to you? Jennifer, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Hi, Ro.
Hi, Jennifer.
I'm sorry that you saw your mom naked, but I found my dad's empty Viagra bottle.
Oh!
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. Because then it was empty, though. It was totally,
exactly.
Yeah.
But now horrifyingly empty.
Yeah, and he had passed away. You were cleaning out the house. Is that how that happened?
I was just cleaning out his dresser, and his girlfriend was there with me. Oh, and it was a little weird. And I was like, "Oh God, what is this, Dad? Empty pill bottles again?" Because he took a lot of medication, and that was not the kind of medication that I was aware he was taking.
Yeah. And then you probably, in your mind, you looked at the girlfriend and thought in your mind, just deeply,
yes.
I always knew she was a slut. Right? That's like
Your brain just goes in weird places, and you got to think about your parents in a way you don't really want to think about your parents.
Yeah, right? So. Right.
Yeah.
You see, that's the thing. I mean, it's like pictures like that, were those right next to pictures of, like, my mom having me and my sister at a birthday party, right? Like a birthday party for me.
You,
like, right? And then the next thing you know, there's like, oh my God.
I totally feel you. I completely get where you're coming from.
Thank you, Jennifer. I appreciate it.
All right. I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you. Me too. Yeah, you too.
Thank
you. And I've kind of gotten over that now that I've seen the picture. I'm like, oh no. It was a better life than I thought they had. Kathy, you are on WGN. Go ahead, Kathy.
Hey, Ro. You know, it's horrible, isn't it? Your eyes burn for, like, how long after? After when my mom and dad got divorced, I was cleaning out stuff, you know, and my dad was a really big camera bug, and we even had a black room, like a dark room, you know, to develop stuff. Mm-hmm. And I ran across pictures of my mom laid out very seductively, you know, with her head on her hand and her elbow up, kind of, you know, like kind of the Burt Reynolds fold out thing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But the initial bath towel was over her lower region.
Mm-hmm.
And so these had to be taken like before 1950, before she had all of us kids. And she was
by the way,
30,
that's very judgy of you. That's okay.
Right. So like she is like 20, like when these pictures were taken.
Yeah.
And then after I saw those pictures, I remembered that bath towel like later on when I was like 10 or 12 years old, and I was like doing, oh my God, is that the same bath towel? I was totally grossed out. And then one other time, my dad got remarried, and the new wife's stepdaughter was very voluptuous.
Mm.
And my dad had gone on a vacation, and I stopped by his office, and I was talking to him. There's a stack of pictures on the phone, on the desk. He was on the phone, and I thought, oh, these must be pictures of the trip. No, they were some of my stepsister who was...
Oh.
You know, 20 something at the time, and I was like probably 50. And I'm like, this, you know, this is crazy. And so it's horrible. You know, it's like such a, what is it, like a betrayal, or is it a,
I don't know, it's just
out?
Creepy. It's just, I mean, listen, I for a moment, I immediately called a friend last night and had to share this. And it was like, and I'm like, at least there was a sense that, it was, you know, they got along better than I thought they got along. You know, at least it's for some period, because they got divorced and it was, you know, it was ugly. But you know, at least, you know, they're, this is the 1950s. They're taking NACO pictures of each other, which means that, like I've always said, anytime there's new technology, sex is involved in some way, shape, or form, whatever it is. The video camera, when they sort of microize the video camera, that's all people were doing. You couldn't find a tripod in the tri-state area when that came out. All right. Thank you, Kathy. Yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye. All right. Rose, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Rose.
Hi. So cleaning out my father's things years ago, we found a roach clip from the man who swore up and down that if you ever get arrested for drugs, I'm leaving you in jail. Son of a gun.
Oh, my God. Dad, the stoner. Yeah.
Yeah, he might have been.
Was it just the clip, or was there still sort of almost a dead soldier in there?
No, just the clip. He didn't leave any good stuff behind.
Yeah. If you'd found it while still alive, he probably would have said that was my tie clip. That's what I was doing. That's right, kids. Give that back
exactly.
to me.
Yeah.
Like, get out of my house.
Yeah, with those feathers hanging off of it, it looks really, you know, like a tie clip.
Thank you, Rose. See, our parents were lying to us the entire time. They were not infallible. Sherry, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Sherry.
Hi. Well, I went to Ball State University in the 80s, and a fraternity came out with a T-shirt that said, "Do I have to take I-69 to get to Ball U?" And my roommate was wearing that shirt. There were a couple girls in my room, and my parents were there visiting. And my mom did not understand the shirt. So my father looked at her and explained to her what those two numbers meant, and he was not very tactful about it. So that was one of those crawl under your bed and die moments for me.
it's a similar feeling, though, because all of a sudden your parents, they've broken the fourth wall right there. You know, you're observing them. You don't think they're real. And then all of a sudden something like that happens. I wonder if David Letterman wrote that from Ball State.
Well, he could have, you know, what he said. If you went to Ball State, he would talk really slow for you.
Yes, it's true.
But, you know,
all right. Well, thank you very much, Sherry. Appreciate it. All right. I don't know where to go with this one. Sandy, you're on WGN. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. Well, I was listening to your station. This was many, many years ago when Viagra first came out. My father got on the phone with you guys and said, "Oh, yeah, Viagra's the best thing that's ever happened." Now, mind you, he has 9 kids at this point. He didn't need no damn Viagra, let me tell you. But to broadcast it over national radio like this, and he was on Viagra, that was embarrassing.
Now, did you recognize it? Were you listening separately, or were you in the car while he was calling, or what was going on there?
I was in my car, and I recognized his voice before he even said his name. And then he said his name, and I'm thinking, oh, no, he had 8 kids with my mother. No, my friends don't need to know this. I don't need to know this.
You
he already had about 20 grandkids.
Did you Did you immediately call your siblings and go, "Do you know what Dad just did? He just told Wally Phillips he's on Viagra."
Yes. I called a few of them, and they're like, "Get out of here." And I'm like, "No." And then on top of that, my mother passed away about maybe 12 years ago, 15 years ago. And I had the fun and joy of cleaning up the house and everything.
Right.
And I found her joy toys and her motion lotion and everything else. I'm like, Mom.
I
didn't need.
Do not drop those off at Goodwill.
Why not?
Recycle. I know, it's plastic. Where do these go? Do these go in the recycle bin? Do they go? What do you do with these? all right. I can see why there were so many kids. Totally get it.
Exactly.
Thank you, Sandy.
My mother had 12 of us and not a twin.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, it's fun on the way. All right, Sandy. Thank you. I'm feeling better about this, though.
This show has never needed the Knarble wagon more than ever. Why does it have to be Thursday?
I know. Just one more day. Just hang in there for one more day. Oh, my God.
Yeah, if it makes you feel better, Ro, the text line is completely flooded with fairly similar stories to what we just heard. So
it is horrifying.
Yeah, a lot of people finding, as she referred to it, joy toys and oils and pictures and condoms and all sorts of things in their parents' homes.
Yep. Actually, I like this one from the 630. Hey, bro, could you share that picture of your hot mom with me?
I saw this. Dude, I'm going to text Ro.
Dude.
Maybe we'll see
his
mom
naked. Go ahead
and
send it. Idiot. Come on. The thing is, okay, so of these 2,000 photos that I had digitized and to find the naked ones of my mom, I'm just wondering, the people who digitized them, did they find them? Because imagine what those people see when they're doing that. They're taking all this stuff, you know, from back then.
My brother used to develop photos, and he would very often have to develop, you know, graphic photos.
Yes. There was a photo developing shop across from ABC years ago. This is, you know, obviously in the 1990s when people were still developing pictures. And this guy used to keep a collection of, he'd make an extra one for himself, and then when we'd walk through, we'd have to walk through the Photoshop to get to the Starbucks. That's that on our way. This is, you know, these are downtown problems. And the guy would go, hey, come here. And he had them like taped up in back of the in back of the counter. And oh my God, the things that people are taking pictures of. I mean, I know now everybody does it with their cell phone, but to know that you're doing it and that some other dude's looking at it has to make sure, you know, they got to look at the picture to make sure they got it right. And I'm like, I don't know. Does that look upside down to you? That's the whole question that I had. All right. Stand by. Here we go. We got the news with Kim Gordon from the WGN Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. So after the last couple of segments on this program discussing finding pictures of my mom naked, I know we'll put it up for podcast. You'll have to listen to the whole thing. I was just going through pictures from the family, from, you know, from the attic, and having them digitized into Sweet Mother of God. So I need to clear my head is what I need to do. And what better way to do that than to talk to our man in Miami, Adam Hoge, who is our Bears insider. He's down covering Super Bowl Live. Or do you say live? It's up to you. And
I like live.
Super Bowl Live, LIV. And this is the hype, it seems to me, maybe because there's so many other things going on in the world between the coronavirus, impeachment, blah, 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 blah. It seems to be a little less present in the media bloodstream than it is. Is there anything big coming out of this?
You know what's interesting about that, Ro, is you're absolutely right, because frankly, the biggest story down here all week to me has been Kobe Bryant. Just because, you know, I mean, the Super Bowl crosses over to so much of the mainstream entertainment world, and a lot of the people that are even down here, like around Radio Row where I am, are not even football guys a lot of times. So to me, that's still been the dominating story all week long. And there honestly hasn't been all that much discussion about the game itself.
Are they doing anything, Adam, to, I know it's the NFL and it's not the NBA, but are they doing anything to honor Kobe pregame or at any point during the broadcast?
You know, that's a great question. Haven't heard anything at this point. Wouldn't shock me if they did. I haven't officially heard anything like that at all. It's a good idea. It wouldn't surprise me if it happened.
Yeah, I would imagine that would be a part of it, because now Kobe has become this, a bit of a,
not just basketball icon,
just a sports, you know, fallen iconic figure that, and, you know, gone too soon. I mean, he fits a lot of the profile of where, you know, people want to attach a lot of meaning to, you know, as a great dad, obviously wasn't the best husband necessarily, but you know, he had one of the most heartfelt apologies in the last 20 years, right? I mean, it was 13 years ago when this happened.
I think by all accounts, too, he, from that point on, I mean, there's been no indication that he didn't become a better husband from that point on. Right. And I think that one thing in a common conversation I've had, for instance, I talked to Tim Brown today, the Hall of Fame wide receiver, played for the Raiders. He, you know, for him, he's older, and so it's his son right now who's 17 that was so attached to Kobe and was crying on Sunday, and he had to kind of console his son. There's some kind of connection there with almost everyone I've talked to this week, but I think specifically to your point that Kobe was not a perfect human being by any stretch of the imagination, that almost makes him more human to the world to attach themselves to, because here's a guy that obviously made some mistakes, but went on to, you know, not just correct those mistakes, like, okay, I apologize, but really seemed to live that out the rest of his life as a father and a husband. And I think that's a big reason why this affected so many people and has been so, honestly, meaningful every single day I've been down here in Miami.
Yeah. Really struck a lot of people. I was shocked at how emotional I was about it on Sunday, and I thought, why is this? And everybody I talked to was emotional about it. I mentioned I was at a grocery store, and there was like this emotional outpouring in the grocery store right as it was like hitting everybody's phones. And it is just it's one of those stories that is overshadowing, I think, a lot of other things here. You know, there's especially in the entertainment press and in the sports press. So in terms of, like, they had the press conferences today. I saw that you know, you had Chiefs players, you had 49ers players going before the microphones, Patrick Mahomes I saw. Really no news gets made in those press conferences because it's as long as they're going to show up on Sunday, that's the only news that counts.
Yeah, and the 2 week stretch in between games kind of adds to that. It's definitely one of those things where at some point you just need to play the game.
Yeah.
So for those guys, for the two teams involved in this game on Sunday, it's much more of a game week type atmosphere. I'm sure those that are, you know, covering the 49ers, covering the Chiefs, and the fans of those teams, that's what they're concerned about. You know, for the rest of us that are down here, it's much more about Radio Row. And honestly, for me,
no relation.
There's been so many. Yeah, there's been so many Bears connections. I talked to Allen Robinson today, guys, the Bears wide receiver, who frankly should have been in the Pro Bowl and wasn't. And he's got 1 year left on his contract with the Bears. He's been such a good player, such a key player for Mitchell Trubisky. He's an obvious candidate for a contract extension. He's still only 26 years old, which is remarkable considering he's played six NFL seasons. And at this point, according to him, there hasn't been much movement towards a contract, which is a little bit surprising. But I would think that sometimes the Bears like to take care of this stuff right before the regular season starts. So I could imagine Allen Robinson eventually signing a long-term deal. He told me today that he wants to retire a Bear. I know that kind of becomes a cliche thing to say when you're in contract negotiation, yes. but he said that when he signed here, and he made sure to emphasize today that nothing has changed in that regard.
Yep, there you go. All right, Adam Hogue, our man in Miami. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Thanks.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Let's check in with Lauren Lapka. What's happening on the roads and the skies? It's the Rokan Show right here, 720 WGN. Coming up at the top of the hour, Kim Gordon's got the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And this spring, Chicago's hometown baseball rivalry heads to Arizona. One lucky fan's going to win a trip for two to Phoenix, including airfare, hotel, and tickets to the Wintrust Crosstown Series game on March 13th. Register today at WGNRadio.com/contest. Sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, and presenting sponsor of the Wintrust Crosstown Series. I love those guys at Wintrust. It's amazing. I get to use their ATMs and they don't charge me. The most important thing, though, I must tell you, is that coming up, a top five at five is going to feature some things that, well, will put hair on your chest. Obviously, we'll give you the coronavirus update right there. And then we'll give you a little preview into the story we were talking about with Joe Donlan from WGN-TV earlier, which is a special investigation by our very own Ben Bradley, who went down to Harvey and spoke to strip club owners in Harvey. I don't know why Harvey has more strip clubs per person than probably any other community in, well, Illinois, maybe America. I don't know. It seems to be big business in Harvey. And it's, you know, that was home to Tom Dreesen. That's where he was born. It's a very embarrassing thing. Anyway, he went down there, and the strip club owners are very upset because there are new rules in Harvey for the strip clubs. Ben has that story, and we'll bring you a little bit of it. And, well, an interesting interesting comment from our friend Jennifer Lopez about what the halftime show is going to look like on Sunday. And now that marijuana is legal in Michigan, how did Jimmy Kimmel handle this? Wait till you hear this. You're going to very much enjoy it. They found the biggest stoner in the state of Michigan. And they worked the whole thing out. And it's audio you're not going to want to miss on Top 5-5, which, of course, is the best or most informative, most entertaining that you're going to hear throughout the day. Top 5 things. Right? Information and entertainment. That's all we're looking for. Okay, I want to ask one more question before we leave the world of sporting here, because we were just talking with our man in Miami, Adam Hoge, about what's happening in the Super Bowl. I am confused, though, and Kevin tried to explain this earlier. The NBA All-Star Game, which is going to be taking place right here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be coming up in 2 weekends from this weekend, so like 2.5 weeks away. All-Star Weekend, Slam Dunk Contest, all those kinds of things where a guy jumps over a Jeep, you know, and then another guy sets the ball on fire, and he runs the other way, then he runs toward it, he puts it out with an extinguisher over the rim. I mean, it's gotten pretty decadent what happens there. Then there's the three-point, which I love. I actually think that's the most interesting of the competitions. Then the game. Now, they have done something to the game. All the leagues now are tricking up their all-star presentation to make it something that's unlike the rest of the sport. And I don't, for this one's so complicated, I don't even think the coaches are going to be able to understand what they're supposed to do here. So would you go back over this?
Yeah. So basically they're going to be competing two teams. Basically they're separating each quarter. So you'll play the first quarter and there will be a winner declared for the first quarter. Whoever had the most points.
East and West.
Yeah, it's Team LeBron and Team Giannis. They do captains now.
Okay, so it's in the captains, and they can choose anybody.
The captains get to pick their teams. So LeBron James and Giannis Antetokounmpo out of Milwaukee get to pick their teams.
Okay.
Okay, so they'll play the first quarter, and then they'll...
Sort of East and West.
Let's just say East and West. Whoever has more points at the end of the first quarter wins that quarter. That team then wins a certain amount of money for charity. They win $100,000, then they donate it to charity.
Okay. Do we know what the charity is?
It's Chicago-based community. It's something Chicago-related.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Okay.
Second quarter arrives.
All right.
0-0 to start.
Okay.
Winner of the second quarter gets the money to donate to charity.
Okay. Same. Now, they have their own Chicago-based charity? Or
yes. Everything is going to be Chicago-based.
Okay. Got it.
Third quarter arrives. 0-0 to start. Winner of that quarter gets the money to give to charity.
Okay.
Now, for the fourth quarter, they go back and tally up the cumulative scores for both teams. So let's just say...
that point's 170 to 169.
I know. Let's just say, to clarify, to make it less confusing, let's say after the three quarters, they go back, they add up all the scores, and let's say Team West is winning 100 to 95.
Okay.
A final target score will be determined. The final target score will be 24 points added onto the team that had the most through three quarters. So let's say Team West had 100 and Team East had 95. The final target score will be set at 124. So
for that team.
For that team.
So 20
for both teams.
Oh, so both teams have to score. Well, okay. Well, what does the target score mean? What happens when they hit the target score?
They win.
Oh, so the game's over at that point?
Yes.
So they just play. They're basically playing to 24, in honor of Kobe Bryant.
Well, you got to make up your deficit though. Like if you're down 195,
you have to win by 24.
You got to get to 124. The first to get to 124 points wins.
Oh. So is that?
So the team that won the
but that could be over in 2 minutes because that's the way in the All-Star game is just there's no defense play.
It could. It's an untimed fourth quarter, so.
It's going to be 4 minutes. I mean, that's all it's going to be.
Yeah.
Who came up with what? I know that David Stern has passed away, and you know he was the inventor of the modern NBA. But why is whose idea was this?
I actually like it because it basically makes each quarter more competitive. Because the NBA All-Star game became so boring. It was ridiculous. They were scoring almost 200 points in the game.
Yeah.
So at least this incentivizes the teams to actually try for each quarter. And it, I think
well, they were trying just to score, but nobody wants to play defense because people can get hurt on defense.
Right, well, maybe they will try now.
I don't think so. You don't want them to get hurt. I love the idea of these guys running and taking shots from half court and doing all kinds of, and guys who are just driving in the lane doing all kinds of crazy stuff because they could, because no one was going to get in their way, because nobody wants to get hurt in this game.
It's dumb. Nobody plays defense.
Well, all of the All-Star games are dumb. The NFLs do the same thing. Like, it was basically, it was like an orgy out there in Orlando or wherever they were playing it. All they would do, as soon as a guy would get the ball, somebody would hug him and they go, okay, the whistle would blow. Oh, there was a hug. It was lovely. Don't bring the guy to the ground. God forbid somebody gets tackled in this game, right? And I understand that. I don't think there should be an Pro Bowl, right? But there is one. I go back to really early on in my life. There was a Bears of major lineman that was one of the most important key figures of the Bears in the 1970s who got hurt and out for lost his career in the Pro Bowl. Means it and over what? That's why Khalil Mack does not show every year for a reason, right?
Yeah, he's skipped the last 2 years.
Yeah, so they don't want to get hurt. It's not really worth it. And I know now it's a petty cake. All they should do there is flag football. That should be it. There's no reason for it, and it doesn't matter, right? When you see these guys, oh, we're going to see Drew Brees for the last time in the Pro Bowl. Okay, whatever. And the All-Star game has gotten kind of – the best part of the All-Star game is the home run derby the night before, right? That's the most interesting thing. And then the old-timer softball game where all of a sudden, like, Luke Apley is running around – he's 150 years old and running around the bases. That's it. Because once you get to the real game, and then they try to make the real game count for something –
that was dumb.
And then all of a sudden you're like, well, no one really plays these games in a competitive level. And they were like, well, we want you to play in a competitive level. No, we don't. Because if you play at a competitive level, some guy's going to get hurt in a game that doesn't count for a team that might be in the playoff or hunt, right? Same thing for all these sports. And the NHL, same thing, my beloved NHL. They've made that into a wacky thing too, right? That's kind of similar to what the NBA is doing. Like, every period is its own thing, and they get it. And it's like, it's like exhibition.
I didn't know you were no so point. Anti-All-Star game.
I'm anti.
I'll send a note to the NBA.
Thank you.
And
I already did.
You've been sending letters your whole life.
Excuse
me, Mr. Commissioner.
Adam Silver's Facebook page. That's all I'm doing.
I'm so mad about Twitter.
I mean, it's stupid. I just don't get it. There is no good reason for any of this other than the commerce of it. And the cities, once it goes into the city, that they absolutely love it. But they should make it into something that is much more of a skills demonstration than, the game itself. Because nobody gives a hoot about the outcome of any of these games. And if you bet on these games, you have a problem. 1-800-QUIT-IT or whatever the number is you're supposed to call if you got a gambling problem. Just admit, if you go, oh my God, I got the over and the all struck. You know what you need to do? You need to call somebody. All right. Coming up on the other side, we have got news from Northwestern Medicine Newsroom and then a top 5-5 you won't believe.
Radio Chicago WGN.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show, sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
If you insist, madam. Top 5. Interesting, informative, entertaining, or just completely out of their freaking mind moments of audio that you can hear today. Starting at
number 5.
All right, well, this is important. A Chicago woman infected with the coronavirus from Wuhan province in China has infected her husband. Health officials confirmed today. It's first person-to-person spread of the coronavirus in the United States. Of course, congratulations, Chicago, for you know, being that. And again, if you've seen, this is the one thing. If you've seen the film Contagion, that was the, that's like from the 2000s, you know, early 2010s. That's a movie that takes place in Chicago. And it's about a virus from China where a chicken sneezed on a guy in China. And the next thing you know, this woman gets very sick and she's touching cards in a casino. And then somebody gets on a plane and the whole, they show you how the whole thing happens. And the next thing you know, there's tents in the parking lot at New Trier and they're hauling bodies out. Here's what I would suggest. Not watching that film tonight. And what I have noticed is if you go to like your Xfinity or you go to any of the sites that have films that are trending, that people are very popular right now, that's at the very top. I mean, people just love to be afraid of these things, like myself. Now, Illinois health officials, however, are saying, hey, easy, 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 easy. It is the second confirmed case in the state, but let's not get all crazy about it.
Currently in Illinois, there are 21 individuals who are considered persons under investigation. We could see more cases among individuals who have had close contact. But I still want to reassure the public, we are actively monitoring these individuals and implementing transmission precautions to minimize the risk of spread. Again, the risk to the general public in Illinois remains low.
You know, she had me at the end. She lost me at the beginning. The fact that there are 21 cases that are being investigated. Now, are those 21 people that were in contact with this one person? Is there somebody else who has it? I mean,
well, you're talking two people now, this husband and wife. So
right.
he was out, you know, after she was already put into isolation. So he's been out and about before he came down with symptoms.
See, this is like the movie Contagion. Do not watch that movie, people. You will freak out. You will buy Y2K supplies if you watch that movie. Your house will be filled with nothing but tuna fish cans and water. And I can never eat tuna fish again after what happened this week. That's at least tuna fish salad. Somehow I'll eat raw tuna again. I don't know why that is. That better? I don't think so. Anyway, the point is that they want to stress that even though the World Health Organization has declared this an international health emergency, this is not a local emergency.
This person-to-person spread was between two very close contacts, a husband and wife. The virus is not spreading widely across the community at this time. We are not recommending people in the general public take additional precautions, such as canceling activities or avoiding going out of their homes.
Too late. I'm canceling all activities. I'm not sure if I'm going out of my home. I don't know how to. There are moments where I feel okay about this, and there's moments where I feel completely panicky about it. I go back and forth, and it's how I like the fact that they're kind of dead-eyed when they're telling you this. The health officials, very little emotion in their voice, and they're just reading off a 3x5 card. I kind of like. I sort of get the sense that they're trying to keep the emotion out of this. But I would so prefer another North American city to be the epicenter of this and for us to have some time to see how they handle it. I just hate to be in the city that has to handle this. That would be the and especially since it was already in a movie. And it didn't go well in that movie. All I'm telling you. Now, again, the rate of this is, it's a scary sounding virus, but the flu has already killed 12,000 people in the United States this year. 12,000. So think about that. This thing hasn't killed anybody in the United States, and at this point, I think it's only like 170 people who have been killed in China have died as a result of this in China, out of the 8,000 cases. So it's still a higher percentage than what the flu would do. But think about that. All right. I don't know. I'm just trying to make everybody feel better, and I just made myself feel worse. Lauren Lapko, what's happening on the roadways and in the skies?
For news at 10, watch WGN, Micah Mater, Joe Donlan, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV news at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
Top 5-5 continues. We're up
number
to...
four.
Thank you, Maureen. Okay. Officials in Harvey, Illinois, where the slogan is, welcome to Harvey, at least we're not Markham. They have watched their late-night clubs operate in their city for years. Now they are being required an alcohol-related business to close by midnight or be in violation of a new city ordinance passed in an effort to enhance public safety and refocus scarce police resources, because I think there's like one cop in Harvey. Very busy. Restaurants and hotels, however, may remain open serving food as long as they don't allow alcohol sales or consumption. The mayor says in order to get Harvey back on track, this ordinance will continue.
You know, my grandma always told me that nothing good happens after 12 o'clock anyway. My loyalty is not to them. My loyalty is to the residents of the city of Harvey.
Okay.
So it's not my business to be in the business of those businesses.
Okay. That's Christopher Clark, the mayor. Thank you to CBS for that, CBS 2. But Asa Powell and John Hamilton, who own Club O, I've seen the billboards for that. I see. I've seen that. I know. I think I know what goes on there. Well, they say that if that's the case, they can't make any money.
Maybe nothing good comes to him at midnight. You know what I'm saying? But other people, when they 20-something and 30-something years old, the city of Harvey, they have residents that want to go out. What city in the world has gentlemen's club and nightclubs, and they make them all end at midnight?
Without the liquor license, it devalues the property, you know? So he's trying to get us out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is. I think that's exactly what he's trying to do. But, you know... It's not as though Harvey's reputation is so sterling, and I get what he's trying to do. I get what the mayor is trying to do, but they, I would imagine that there is some income that comes out of Club O for them. They better figure that out. Maybe they get unincorporated, that one little area. All right. Well, we'll be watching this. And we just hope that the billboards stay up, because very entertaining. Checking in at...
number three.
During a press conference in Miami, Jennifer Lopez and Shakira teased what we should expect from the Super Bowl Live halftime show. J-Lo was cryptic, though.
The two teams that are playing, right, the Chiefs and the 49ers, are run by women. And then you got two women headlining the halftime show. So it's just that statement alone for me is empowering. When I think of my daughter, when I think of all the little girls of the world, to be able to have that, to see that, two Latinas doing this at this time in this country at this time, it's just very empowering for us.
Who are the women running the teams?
I think there's ownership groups, right?
Oh.
I think San Francisco's owned by a woman, and the Chiefs, Lamar Hunt's daughter, right? Or granddaughter? Is
it
going to the team?
It was his son, Clark. I don't know.
I don't
whatever J-Lo said.
I'm with her. You know, whatever. It doesn't matter. Are there details? All right.
She looks better with age, by the way. Just continues to get better. I'm serious.
That's for Twitter. Why would you say something like that? Now, just put that on Twitter and let's just see what happens.
No, I'll stay away from that.
She's a beautiful woman.
That's what I mean.
And very talented.
That's it.
Very, very, very talented. And I'm wondering, you know, where's A-Rod on that? Like when she's up there making the speech about the empowerment and everything, you think A-Rod's like, yeah. Like when she's like practicing that with A-Rod like last night, like, hey, this is what I'm going to say at the press conference tomorrow. A-Rod looks disinterested at all times in what's going on.
She runs the show. I don't think he probably has much say.
Yeah, I don't. But he seems disinterested in her even running the show. He's like, it feels like he's just there. He's just like a static figure. That just moves in and out. He's almost Brad Pitt without actually being the child carrier, right? Because that was Brad's job. Is Brad? They would literally, Angelina Jolie would put the children's papooses all over Brad Pitt before he'd have to walk through LAX. He'd have like six kids. It'd be like a circus act. Him with six kids going down the concourse and her walking 10 paces ahead like she was floating. No wonder he drank. All right. Checking in at...
Wait, number two.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I saw Orion going the wrong way there. I had to make sure that he was okay. With almost 25,000 followers on Twitter and nearly twice that on Instagram, musician Tom Rosenthal is no stranger to social media. But when his most recent Twitter post went viral, it was really more because of his three-year-old daughter than his own creativity. Fenn is his daughter's name. She's having her moment in the spotlight. She wrote a song. Now, again, she's 3 years old. She wrote a song about the death of dinosaurs, the tragic dooming of the dinosaur. And now it has become a viral sensation.
Dinosaurs eating people. Dinosaurs in love. Dinosaurs having a party. They eat fruit and cucumber. They fell in love.
Then what do they do?
They say thank you. A big bang came and they died.
I love it.
My God, my heart is melting.
She's like the three-year-old, like Tom Waits, is sort of what it sounds like to me. She's kind of doing her own, kind of her, like her own thing. She's like singing and then goes down into like talking to us about it. Yeah. See now, like, as a guy, I'm like, I just want to, for some reason I hear that and I get, it creeps me out. I don't know why. Just want to move on.
Why?
It's so sweet.
I don't
what
know.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know. Would you play that again? I don't think this heart can melt.
Dinosaurs fell in love, but they didn't say goodbye. But they didn't say goodbye.
See, this is perfect. This is a kid that also has seen Land Before Time and cried her eyes out like I did as a small child.
There you go. There had to be something. Now, did they really fall in love? Do you think dinosaurs really fell in love? I'd like to sit down with this little three-year-old
thing. How do we get other dinosaurs?
Well, you know, it's they.
You don't have to love to do that.
No, I mean, they were eggs, right? Don't
you just learned
lay
that
eggs?
From your mother's pictures.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Too soon. Oh, Kim Gordon. I'll explain that coming up.
Mic drop by Kim.
Yeah. All right. And finally, checking in at
number one.
Marijuana now legal in Michigan, too, right? Indiana's the outlier here. Indiana's feeling the squeeze. I don't know when the Mike Pence pot movement is going to happen in Indiana, but it's coming soon. At least in the northwest part that connects Illinois to Michigan. Well, the people of Niles, Michigan, were lined up to get one of the, like we are here, lined up to try to get a little scooch, bow, devil's lettuce. And one of the guys in line was a young man named Frederick Miller, who was featured on the local news, the CBS affiliate in South Bend, Indiana. He was in line waiting to buy, you know, the stuff.
Oh, hi, I'm Frederick Miller. It's Frederick Miller.
Perfect.
Did you say spell it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're waiting on the dispensary. We want to go inside and check out what they got. Yeah. I was kind of hoping like a Willy Wonka thing, like gates and like, you know, somebody coming out with like a cane and then like doing tricks. But so far it's just cold. I want to try some like edibles. Okay. Like, I'm really interested in that because my experience, I've only ever had, like, maybe home-baked, I guess. Yeah, I'm probably going to sit on the couch and smoke a bowl and, I don't know, check out, like, the new Dracula on Netflix. I've heard good things, man. I'm excited.
Okay. So, Jimmy Kimmel, obviously they were playing that to the Jimmy Kimmel audience. That's who was laughing there. They don't have an in-studio audience at WSBD TV that laughs at all the news. That would be unfortunate if they had that. But this is Jimmy Kimmel, and it was on the show. So Jimmy Kimmel was able to track down Frederick. And, well, it went as expected.
Hi, Frederick.
How are you?
Hi, Jimmy. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing.
I am high as hell.
Are you right?
I'm high right now.
On life or on plants? Fred, how long were you in line outside the store?
Oh, buddy, we waited probably about like 2 hours, 2.5. And it was totally worth every minute.
Will you stand in line to vote for that long?
All right. Wait, there's more.
Have you considered running for office in your area?
You know what? I got a lot of good feedback from this interview.
Yes.
And people seem to like it. So, you know, I watched that movie once where the guy became president after getting high a bunch. So,
yeah.
You know, if you dream it, it can happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an excellent point.
Yeah. You know, there was a moment in television in the 1950s and 60s where drunk guys playing drunk guys were, you know, very popular comedians. Now it's the stoner movement. 50 years later, it's like the stoner is going to be the next television iconic thing. If there still is television. I'm not even sure there's still going to be. I've heard good things about that Dracula thing too, by the way. I just want to point that out.
You and Frederick can hang out, order a pizza.
Yeah, it's exactly. Exactly. And some wings. And then another pizza. Forget that we ordered the first pizza and order another pizza. Ah. Dracula's cool. All right, let's close this thing up, shall we?
The top five at five.
The Rokon Show is on 720 WGN. That's us. And that's me. And that's Richard Roper right there, who is the...
Hello.
The most esteemed... By far.
The esteemiest.
Film reviewer who's ever appeared on this program. I would like to say that.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, I'd just like to say quickly before we get into some exciting movies and television opportunities the dinosaur girl.
Are you with me on this?
Yeah. Well,
the dinosaur girl doesn't really... I don't think it's cute.
Well, I think, all I know is she's so talented that Billie Eilish has already been trolling her and has been blocked, you know, because she's threatened by the next big thing. Yeah, she's not all that.
The Billie Eilish is, though. They announced Billie Eilish is doing the Bond theme this year.
The new Bond theme, and she'll be also doing a special performance of some of the nominated songs, I believe, at the Academy Awards.
Oh, the Academy Awards. This gives me an opportunity, before we get to the stuff that you would like to review here, this gives me an opportunity to remind people, if they are going to be watching the Oscars next week, that the Best Movies with Richard Roper and Rokon is a podcast that is at the top of the charts of Apple Podcasts. And you can just go to Apple Podcasts and Google, or not Google, just type in Richard's name.
Go to Ask Jeeves for help.
Right, or my name, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It's put in ROE, because it goes for both, Roper and Roe. And you can find the podcast. We've got all of the Oscar... Basically, it's a rundown of the best supporting actor and actress categories, the best actor and actress categories, and then best pictures coming up next week. We also, in the next day, you're going to see the Oscar picks pop up right there. So it's kind of an interesting look at, in case you haven't seen any of these movies, or and you still want to watch the Oscars and you want to figure out who did what. It explains the whole deal to you. And there also is another series up there from the same producers about the best movies of the decade, of the 2010s.
So, same people, yeah,
and it's really doing very well. We want to thank all the people who downloaded it and left all those nice reviews. Okay, so having said that, Mr. Roper,
yes.
What would you like to start
with?
Well,
you know, it's never too early to talk about next year's Academy Awards, and this week we have a movie that will definitely not be within a million miles of any award ever. It's called The Rhythm Section.
Uh-oh.
Now, I keep confusing this. First, I thought it was about the Janet Jackson Rhythm Nation, and then I thought it was about the Atlanta Rhythm Section, but it's called The Rhythm Section.
Okay. Blake Lively, we love her.
I love Blake Lively.
Jude Law.
I think Jude Law, with he's on the Pope Show on the HBO. I love Jude Law. I think he's one of those actors who's just now really coming into his prime, because for a while he was kind of a tabloid leading man kind of guy, and he's sort of like the British Brad Pitt. if you will. So here's a setup for this. Blake Lively plays a Oxford student. She likes to do, you know, all American actresses at some point have to do
a British accent.
A British accent. And tragically, her whole family was killed in a plane crash. Mom and dad and her brothers. She was supposed to get on the plane but didn't get on at the last minute. So now she's a wreck. She's a junkie. She's a prostitute. And now she finds out that it was actually a terrorist bomb that took out the plane. So she decides she's going to become an assassin and get revenge on all the bad guys that took down the plane. And this all happens within about 3 months because Jude Law plays a former MI6 agent who's off the grid. And he decides to train her. He Miyagi's her.
Oh.
In 3 months, next thing you know, he's instructing her how she's going to kill this bad guy who lives in New York City.
Guy's security's tight. No gun will get through, not the way you're going in.
Which is how?
He owns a penthouse on Central Park West, not his family home.
A mistress.
Four girls. Gas him first, square in the face, okay? Are you listening?
Mm.
When he goes down, cut his throat. You go in deep, you go in hard, ear to ear. Gas him first, or you won't manage and wait until you're undressed. You got a better idea?
I don't have a worse one.
Now, remember, she's 3 months removed from being this hopeless junkie prostitute who's never gotten in a fight in her life. Now she's a killing machine.
Oh.
And we can tell she's serious about her assassination work because she changes wigs all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Even though nobody knows who she is. But she's like, it's so we get a chance to see Blake Lively as a redhead, Blake Lively as a blonde. And listen, a couple of years ago, she was in a movie called Shallows, which was not based on the Gaga song. Mm-mm. And in that movie, she beat up a great white shark.
That's true.
And that movie was more believable than this movie. This is insanely stupid.
She stood on. I watched, she was on a rock.
Remember that?
Yeah, she stood on a rock for a while. I think she was actually on one of those buoys for a while.
She was on a buoy.
Ding ding buoy.
Yeah,
it was out there. She went swimming by herself in a Mexican grotto. Basically what she did. And then there was a megadon or whatever the hell that is.
There were a couple of teenage jet skiers who went by a couple of times, but then they got the Alex Kittner treatment, as we call it, from Jaws when the little boy got, you know, eaten up. So 1.5 stars for the Rhythm Nation. And this movie is like 3 years in the making because first she hurt her hand doing one of the stunts in the movie, Blake Lively in real, you know, like, so they had to take a break. Then they started filming
rhythm
again.
Rhythm section, by the way.
Rhythm Nation.
Not Rhythm Nation, Rhythm Section.
The Rhythm Method. Which is not recommended, although the Catholic Church back in the day would tell you. And then they came back and they started filming again. And then she got pregnant.
Because she was trying a rhythm?
Deadpool, her husband Deadpool.
Yes.
Ryan Reynolds,
yeah,
right? That's her husband, right?
Yeah.
Three kids. So then she had to take another year off to have the kid. Then they assembled again. She had 2 times she could have gotten out of this movie. She had the best, like, calling, you know, she had the best doctor's note. I cut my hand. I'm having a baby. But she's a trooper, and she went back, unfortunately for us. So,
and perhaps for her reputation, because she has real skills as an actress.
Absolutely does. If you see her like in a role in a movie like The Town, she's great.
Oh, amazing
as,
in The Town.
Ben Affleck's role. I thought she could have been a supporting actress nominee. She was so good in that film. I think the best move for Blake Lively is to get a really top-level streaming series to showcase her abilities. That would be the move right now, because the movie roles are kind of up and down for her.
Yeah, that maybe. Or maybe Downton Abbey 3. It's not over yet. Something like that.
Or just her and Ryan Reynolds at home. Very Lively Reynolds.
How about, there's got to be a new Deadpool, right? There's got to be a Deadpool 3.
I don't think they like to work together. They're better off. They're,
she needs his help right now, yeah. I would say.
That'll be fine.
All right. Welcome back. We're going to talk about, actually, what you say, this docuseries is on HBO, maybe one of the best things on television this year.
Absolutely.
We'll talk about that. But first, here's Lauren Lapka. What's happening on the roads and the skies? It's the Rokon Show. Richard Roper is here. You can read him in the Chicago Sun-Times, where he reviews the films. And also you do streaming stuff and cable and all the rest.
Very Cavallari, Season 3, Episode 4, tonight. quick tease for that. We can talk about it tomorrow. The show finally comes to Chicago.
Oh.
And, you know, there's a famous story, an urban legend story, Rokon, about somebody coming up to Jay Cutler and telling him that, you know, I have so much in common with you. And they mentioned diabetes and stuff. And Jay famously supposedly said, don't care. Everybody knows somebody who knows somebody. It seems like an urban legend. Well, in this episode, Zach Miller, the retired tight end of the Bears, and his wife,
had one of the most grievous injuries, almost lost his life in the game.
Exactly. So he and his wife, also named Kristen, go out to dinner with Jay and Kristen. And let's just say maybe that story's not an urban legend after all, because they tell the story on Very Cavallari. season 3, episode 4.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all right. So let's talk about what you're saying, this HBO docuseries.
Yes.
McMillions is one of the best things on television.
This is incredible. And it's a 6-part docuseries on HBO that's debuting this weekend. And I don't know if a lot of people remember this story because there wasn't as much publicity as you'd think, because I think there were a lot of settlements, but there were some arrests as well. But essentially, everybody does remember, and I think until only recently in various versions, McDonald's had the Monopoly game, right? It debuted in 1987. It was a huge promotion. Michael Jordan and everybody else in the world would be in the commercials. People might remember, you had to get the token, right? You'd get a token or a game piece,
right?
And most of the time, you'd win something like a McFlurry or a small fry, something like that. But every once in a while, there was a game piece that would be, you have won $1 million. Well, it turns out that from 1989 to 2001, there was not a single legitimate winner of a major cash prize during that entire run. It was all rigged, corrupted, not by McDonald's, but through other agents. We got a little clip here. Think of this almost like an Ocean's movie, except for it really happened.
Conversations on the wiretap were coming in.
I'm hearing the name Uncle Jerry thrown around on the phone.
We started focusing more on trying to figure out who he was.
He's a freaking gangster.
Uncle Jerry was getting the tickets and selling them to other people.
This is a $1 million winning ticket, and he's got it in a Ziploc sandwich bag that's not even zipped.
Somebody offers you $1 million, you're going to take it. Unless you got to kill somebody, then you might not, you know, might not be interested.
Might not. All right. What's interesting about this is what they had done. For people who are like, well, how did Uncle Jerry get those? Mm. They had corrupted the people who were manufacturing the cards themselves.
It was all inside stuff. The thing is, yeah, McDonald's outsourced. First of all, the PR company, the marketing company, would handle these all the promotions that McDonald's does. And one of the top security guys in there was part of the alleged scheme, which was an actual scheme. And then the printing company, which is an incredibly secure outfit. I mean, they have operations, in effect, it's much tighter security than you'd see for something like the Oscars. I mean, dual keys that you have to use and combinations and everything. But Uncle Jerry, who eventually is revealed this corrupt guy, he did physically get a hold of these. And then his scheme was to get them to innocent people who didn't seem connected, say, because they would just walk in and say, hey, I won.
Right. And they were then, all over the country. He found people like throughout the Midwest. One of the problems
the
was
Coast, yeah.
And the East Coast that were friends or relatives or whatever, people he had created trust with. Right.
Yeah. And the idea was then they would have to kick back a large portion of the cash. One of the brilliant things they did, and once McDonald's was made aware of this, to their credit, they didn't try to make it go away. They're like, how can we help? So there was a young PR executive up here at the then Oakbrook headquarters of McDonald's, now on in the West Loop, right near the Uncommon James store where Kristen Cavallari has opened her new shop. They concocted a phony production unit to do commercials, like publishers clearinghouse type commercials. They called it Shamrock Productions, because sometimes you're just lucky. And it was a bunch of FBI guys and this marketing gal. None of them knew how to work a light meter. They barely knew how to turn the camera on, but that gave them an excuse to interview past winners. And then they would tell us the story of how you won and which McDonald's you went to. And a lot of times they had been flown to McDonald's that weren't near their homes. So that they would trip them up. But these people had willingly, subjected themselves to the interview. So they said, we're doing a big Vegas reunion of all past winners. None of this was real. So it was really some pretty cool FBI undercover sting stuff. And the stories were amazing. And this Uncle Jerry guy, I mean, Paul Sorvino, basically a good fellas. Picture that. And the other thing, they did figure out that a lot of these people, they were all calling Uncle Jerry. And this was back in the day where they were mostly landlines. They'd all call him for a week or two before they won and then never call him after.
The guy who was the initial centerpiece of this, I remember there was a long Vanity Fair New York magazine piece about this, about how this whole thing unfolded. And there was a guy who was at the very center of sort of the operations guy that was able to figure out how to get into the business where they were getting the cards and all that.
Yeah.
It was like a Richard Jewell-esque character. You know,
exactly.
It was like,
yeah.
He was a guy, never been in security, never really kind of worked it out. Paul Blart, mall cop, all of a sudden finds his way in with this other group of people to defraud one of the most famous contests in America.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, everybody was trying
promoted
to win.
Yeah.
And you'd see, and the other thing was, because it's a sweepstakes and not a, you know, that way it's not considered gambling, You didn't have to purchase anything at McDonald's to win. You could walk in and ask for a token. You also, they put game tokens in People Magazine and in Sunday newspapers.
Right.
So that's how some of these people, that way there was no camera or no moment of them walking to McDonald's and having to fake, oh, I won. The guy would come in and go, oh, I bought People Magazine and I got this one. It was in the back page of the magazine. Oh, do you still have the magazine? No, I threw it out. I didn't remember. So, you know, trying to trace it took a long time too. Crazy stuff. McMillions is the name of the documentary.
On HBO.
Yes.
McMillions. Is it all downloadable one time, or do we have to go week by week now?
HBO likes you to watch them a week at a time. Eventually, you know.
I'm so tired of HBO doing that to me with this Curb Your Enthusiasm and everything.
I know. I've seen you actually walk up to the TV and press, next episode, next episode. And I'm like, there's no next episode.
I'm just doing my best.
So 3.5 stars, by the way, for McMillions. I would love to see it also get turned into a feature film. I think it would be a great feature film. But the documentary itself, they kind of do feature film techniques in it.
That's very interesting.
There was a moment where they get one of the Sad Sack winners to pose on the beach with one of those oversized, you know, novelty checks.
Mm-hmm.
And this happened in real life. He's on the beach holding up the novelty check, telling a story. And a stone guy came by, probably the guy that knows the guy from the Kimball Show. A stone guy came by and stole the check. And ran off with it in the mistaken belief he could take it to a bank and cash it. And so then the FBI agents who were posing as the film crew, they couldn't be like, hey, FBI, stop.
Right.
So they were kind of like, oh, we couldn't catch him. But they actually had another guy catch him around the corner and go, dude, it's a novelty check.
Yeah. For those of you who've ever wondered, yeah, those things actually are not cashable.
Yeah, if you bring it in. Plus, it's a Joe Hoover, the guy.
It's an amazing story. So I'm glad that HBO and the production companies that HBO hires or buys their...
Oh, it's top of the line. Mark Wahlberg is the executive producer, too. And one last thing about this, too. There was a moment where one of the big Uncle Jerry guys, he donated $1 million to St. Jude's Hospital with a McDonald's token to throw the feds off the...
Oh, track. It's even that? Worse. News from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with Kim Gordon coming your way in 2 minutes.
It's never too early to start your weekend early. On Fridays, we invite you to tell us your good news. What's your bright side? At a new time, 11:45. It's sponsored by the Joint Relief Institute. I'm John Williams. Tomorrow morning on 720. WGN.
It's the Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN. Our legal analyst, Mike Monaco, has stepped into the studio. He's a very important legal mind in Chicago. Just ask him. And
thanks a lot, bro.
You're welcome, Michael. And you can see, I just remember, it's really funny. We're going to play News or Ruse with you.
Oh, great.
So if you want to play News or Ruse, 312-981.
I got ruined the last time we played this.
Yes. You are a celebrity for News or Ruse.
Oh, great. Thanks
because
very much.
The real celebrity backed out.
The real celebrities have avoided the game.
Right. David Hochberg couldn't make it. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to play News or Ruse. All right. So...
And they can vote not to be my partner, right?
No. It's really sort of an order of appearance.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So a couple of things that should be mentioned. Hold on. I have this. Don't worry about it.
It's not easy to talk about the Facebook issue.
No, we'll get to that a little bit later.
Oh, okay.
On. I'm not sure how to readdress this.
Oh, okay.
Because I found something. Oh, I mentioned this in the 4 o'clock hour.
Oh, really?
You know, I was going through my dad's stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And, it's been sitting in my house for months.
That's
and
I always just, a melancholy
yeah,
event.
It is. It's a weird moment. Yeah. So there were a couple boxes of slides.
Oh.
So I kind of went through a couple of boxes, like, to see if, you know, the stuff was in good quality. And I just looked at a couple of them, and I thought, okay, fine. There was some interesting stuff, right? There was stuff from his military career. There was stuff from, you know, family, pictures I haven't seen since I was a little kid. And so I gave them to a company to have them, you know, digitized, you know, made into.
Yeah,
so the company sends me some links last night. They've finished digitizing. And
they didn't report any to the police.
Well, So I'm looking.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I'm looking at these pictures, and I'm going through, and all of a sudden there's like a, and I recognize most of them from a kid from slideshows. But then all of a sudden I get to this one area, I've never seen these pictures before. It's a bunch of stuff in Europe, and it's actually my mom and my dad when they were like, it looks like they were like newlyweds. So very young.
Well,
a lovely couple.
That's
you
harmless.
Know, right? And like sort that's of in Spain or some the place like that. Sort of, you know, there was like a Castilian bridge. I don't even know if that's a lisp or a bridge. Anyway, so they that then there's a picture of them having dinner. And then there's a picture of them in a hotel room where, you know, my mom's, you know, clad, but in sort of a come hithery kind of thing. And then the next picture up, look out! Like, in this diaphanous dress, or like thing, sheet, kind of whatever that would be, diaphanous gown, against the light.
It is
of
who?
My mother.
Oh, okay.
Against the
Thank
light
God.
Of the window.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not him. Although yeah. You never know.
You never know.
You never know. Yeah. And then this, and you see everything.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
When you say everything, can you clarify that?
Kevin.
Oh my God.
Kevin.
I'm just looking for details.
It must have been the light that did that. I'm sure.
Well, it was actually a very artistic shot.
Oh, okay.
But I couldn't stare at it for very long because my mind started to melt. Because you're like, I was like, oh my God, no.
You got to get that bristle brush and rub it off your memory.
I'm alone in my home.
Oh, God.
And I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. I'm surprised that the neighbors didn't call the police.
Yeah, well, how many times can they call the police on you? Let's be honest.
Good point.
You know.
Well, you're there every time for me, Mike.
Really.
Thank you very much. No case too big or too
pleasure.
Small. All right. So is that legal? I don't know what to do with that.
Sure, no.
I mean, they printed it. It's kind of an art piece. It's you know, there wasn't any, you know.
Yeah. Let's not discuss it. Okay, it was an interesting moment.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing about it is in those days, they had your dad didn't that was
develop it. Develop. No,
they had to send it someplace. And normally when you send them someplace, if they were at all racy, they would send them back or worse.
Call the police.
Yeah. So thank God they didn't do that. Maybe they did.
A young Mike Monaco gets his first case.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well,
does your mother know you found the photo?
No. Well, maybe she does now. By now she does. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what my mother knows anymore at all. I talked to her three
She's
or four times a day.
She's probably proud of that picture, probably, I would imagine.
I don't know. I was thinking, when I saw it, I thought, so I was going to print a bunch of pictures because there's a lot of, you know, really nice family stuff from her extended family, like her dad and her grandma and stuff. Like, there's some really cool pictures in this box of slides. And I thought I would like print like 10 or 12 of them and then drop that one in the middle and just kind of hand it to her and see how she reacts.
No, that's... I don't think she needs that. But that it must have been an interesting evening for you.
Oh, God, God. I'm like, I didn't know what to do. I wanted to take my brain out of
You got to scrub your memory
if I could have done that.
Recollection of that at all.
Put it in the shower and then put it back in the brain pan, I would have done that.
I think an iron bristled brush is what you need. To really rub that out. Yeah.
Oh, God. You just things you don't want to see.
No,
never
no,
want to
never.
See. I don't want you to see.
You don't
want to
think about it.
No.
Exactly.
All right, we're playing Newsaroos with Mike Monaco on the other side. But first, Lauren Lapka's put up with a lot of crap today, standing by with the WGN traffic and weather.
Yeah, when you're done with that brush, send it my way.
And now, the Rokan Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokan.
Thank you, Mr. Duffy. All right, here's what we're playing for today on News or Ruse. The winner gets a $75 gift certificate from Green Tea Home Services for all your home service needs. Garage door maintenance, air duct purification systems, carpet cleaning, 805 Green Tea or greenteaservices.com. And everyone gets a pair of tickets to the Tinley Park Golf Show, February 7th through the 9th at Tinley Park Convention Center. We love them. Browse aisles of newly released equipment and apparel from Chicagoland's top retailers. Get information at Tinley Park Convention Center. .net. That's always fun. Also makes you feel like it's like
summer's coming.
Right.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. Mike Monaco, who is our celebrity, I'm saying that, I'm using air quotes for that, is our celebrity in News or Ruse today.
Yeah.
And who's going to play with him? Joe is playing with Lauren. Mark is playing with Kevin. And George is playing with Mike. All right. Good luck to you, George. That's all I want to say. Let's start with Joe and Lauren.
We got it.
All right. Here is your headline, kids. Video game company urges players to avoid Plague Incorporated game for information on coronavirus.
I could see that being true.
Hi, Lauren.
What do you think?
Did you say true?
I think news, yeah.
Well, it seems so obvious.
That's true.
That I'm going to say it's not true, Lauren. I'm going against my partner.
That's okay.
All right, you can do that, but it's okay.
Lauren, I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
This is your green tea services gift certificate, sir. You're still getting in the golf show no matter what happens. All right, Mark and Kevin, here is your headline. Florida contractor was below legal limit but certainly impaired when he demolished wrong home, court says.
That sounds like news to me, Kevin.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going news.
Pretty good.
Seems like a no-brainer.
George and Mike. Here we go.
Hang on, George.
New Jersey mayor admits getting drunk at party, removing pants, passing out in employee's bed.
What do you think, George?
I don't think those are three in a row. I'm going to say news.
All right, good man. There you go, George.
Yeah, that's very interesting. He was playing the odds there. Who do you like in the Super Bowl, George?
49ers.
Okay, there you go.
Chiefs all the way.
Both. I like it. He's hedging his bets. All right, back to the top here. Joe and Lauren, here is your headline. Alabama doctor faces backlash after warning public Chinese food is bad for your waistline, not respiratory system.
What do you say, Lauren? I mean, I have to go with you, Lauren, because I didn't do well on the first one.
Well, again, I can see this being news because I'm sure something freaks people out to think that Chinese food is giving them respiratory issues, but I'm not sure.
That's two questions in a row.
I just need an answer
to
here.
Something China, so I'm going to go with you, Lauren.
Okay, let's go news.
Where? Oh, no, hold on.
Oh, no.
Oh, I teased them with that. That was wrong. Yeah.
That was wrong.
That was a tease. Wow.
I know. Sorry about that. You know, these buttons, they're too close together. Hey,
small buttons.
Small buttons, big fingers. All right, so here's the issue. Literally, Fox 32 last night did a story. the headline of the story was, the coronavirus is in Chicagoland, but it is not in Chinatown. Just in case you're wondering. All right, here we go. Back to News or Ruse. Mike and Mark and Kevin. Mark and Kevin. I'm sorry. It's your turn.
It's okay.
All right, here we go. Man claims someone stole his cheeseburger from motel nightstand.
My initial reaction, that's got to be news.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right. And
news.
Correct. I got the button.
Yay. Are you sure about that one?
Yeah, that actually eliminates Joe and Lauren. I just want to point that out.
Never take a man's cheeseburger.
All right. I think it does at least. All right. Let's see. We'll find out here. George and Mike, here is your headline. A postal worker rented a storage unit to hide mail because he felt pressured to deliver it.
That sounds like news.
News.
Now, that is not just news. That has happened here in Chicago.
Yeah, I know.
Do you remember the guy who actually put the mail under his porch, and then he decided, you know what the real problem is here? Is that it's still sitting here, so he set it on fire.
Set his house on fire.
Yes, right. So that didn't work out so well for everybody. All right, that does eliminate Joe and Lauren. Joe, it was a lot of fun. Thank you very much. But you're going to the Tinley Park Golf Show, February 7th through the 9th, Tinley Park Convention Center. You can browse aisles and aisles and aisles of newly released equipment and apparel from Chicagoland's top retailers. Get information, if you will, at tinleyparkconventioncenter.net. All right, here we go. It's this. You got to get this right, Mark and Kevin, to stay in it. Are you ready?
Yep.
All right, pressure's on.
This is the Orion Samuelson round. Orion?
13-year-old girl among arrests after machete brawl during Frozen 2 viewing.
Wow, that's got a lot packed in there, Kevin.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot there. I'm thinking news.
Yeah, I'm thinking news, too. Anytime you get machetes and Frozen together, you know.
It's interesting. All right, is that your final answer?
Yes.
How about that?
All right.
What were the chances?
Mark's got the clutch gene.
All right, George and Mike, this is for the win. Here's your headline.
Iowa man gets 14 years for plot to take internet domain at gunpoint.
Oh, man.
As crazy there in Iowa, I got to say that's a ruse.
Okay, I'm with you.
Oh, that goes into overtime.
We're alive, Mark.
That is from the behind. Yes, from downtown.
All right,
here we are. We are in the lightning round. Yeah, that's all right. Everybody's having fun. Mark and Kevin, here is your headline. Calgary Zoo's penguin walk canceled because it's too cold.
The Calgary what? Penguin walk?
Calgary Zoo's penguin walk. I'm gonna say news because it's probably not too cold for penguins, but for
very logical. That's interesting. I don't know how I feel about logic, but yes. Are you gonna go along?
Your call, Mark. You've got the clutch gene.
Sure. Let's stay with news.
Downtown. Yes. All right. Now.
All right, we have to get this
to stay in it.
Yes.
You guys had a commanding lead. I don't know what happened to you.
Comeback victory here, yeah. Mark. I'll lead with this in sports.
George and Mike. Teenager in court for slamming his bedroom door. Mike, this is a perfect case for you.
Yeah,
as I like to say, no case too big or too small.
I would say it's got to be news.
Yes, right. He's the lawyer. Just ask him. That is correct. Yes, it continues on into overtime. All right, here we go. Back to Mark and Kevin. Yamaha.
When do we declare a tie?
I don't know. I'll figure it out. Yamaha warns musicians not to squeeze into instrument cases.
I'm betting that's true because of the guy who snuck out of Japan.
Is that your client? Isn't that the guy, the Nissan guy, Mike?
Yes.
Yeah, the Nissan guy. I'm saying that's news, too.
Okay, let's go with news.
There you go. That actually happened. All right, and here we go. Back to Mark and Kevin.
George and Mike.
George and Mike, I'm sorry. I'm so confused now. Outrage at bar offering Corona beer deals during coronavirus outbreak caused by snowflakes, says owner. You know, like snowflakes. And that guy's a snowflake.
That sounds like news.
I'll go with you, Mike.
There you go.
All right, here we go. We're gonna declare a tie. We're running out of questions.
Orion's gone.
He went home.
Orion left the building at the end of his thing,
and he actually made it home in time. He lives in Huntley. All right, here we go. George and Mike. I'm sorry. Mark and Kevin, here's your headline. Video game athlete signs first of its kind pot sponsorship with Dude, Where's My Bong Pot Shop.
I believe that may have happened. I just feel like that sounds almost, the name of the pot shop feels almost a little too... I don't know, Mark. You got the hot hand right now. It's your call.
I had the exact same feeling that it sounds like a true story, but I think the name of the sponsor is goofy. So we're going to say it right.
How about that? All right, here we go. This could end it all right here. George and Mike, North Carolina couple call 911 on vacuum thought to be intruder.
That's true. I remember hearing about that. I'm almost positive.
Way to go, George. I'm with George. Way to go, George.
This game is never going to freaking end. All right, here we go. All right, this is everybody's last chance here. All right, here we go. Mark and Kevin. Colorado Highway blocked by large boulder the size of a small boulder.
What?
I know. Colorado Highway blocked by large boulder the size of a small boulder.
I recently saw a boulder blocking a roadway somewhere on social media, and it wasn't that big.
Okay.
I don't know if that's this story, but that's where I went.
That's more than I got for it, so sure, news.
Oh, my God.
Hooray!
George and Mike, this is
unfair that Kevin's studying.
This is just for the tie or the outright loss. Here you go. Calvin Klein perfume, big hit with Zoo's Big Cats.
What do you think, George? I'll say news.
Ruse.
You say ruse? Okay, I think
I'm
news.
Say ruse.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, Look at that. They come from behind and they stayed in it. Yes, in one of the most amazing games of News or Ruse in history.
That's okay, George.
Congrats, Mark.
And all with the question, dude, where's my bond?
That's right.
All right. Hold on, everybody.
What a battle. I'm sweating.
That was really something. Not since Bulls Knicks 1995 have I seen a series like this.
Oh, God.
All right. That's it. Thank you. Winners, by the way. I should remind everybody.
We're all winners.
Now. Yeah, everybody's a winner.
Everybody's a winner.
The $75 gift certificate from Green Tea Home Services, greenteaservices.com, and the Tinley Park Golf Show. Everybody got that. February 7th through the 9th, Tinley Park Convention Center. Information at tinleyparkconventioncenter.net. All right, let's check in now. Kim Gordon's got the WGN News. All right, it's the Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN. This spring, Chicago's hometown baseball rivalry heads to Arizona. One lucky fan wins a trip for two to Phoenix, including airfare, hotel, and tickets. See the Wintrust Crosstown Series game on March 13th. Register today at WGNradio.com/contest. Sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, and presenting sponsor of Wintrust Crosstown Series. All right. That's
a lot of fun.
Thank you, Mike Monaco. That is true.
That is
a lot of fun. We Kevin and I were out there last year for the spring training games. And first of all, the White Sox spring training facility.
They're going to be great. The White Sox are going to be great.
They are going to be great. They share it with the Dodgers.
Oh.
So it's half White Sox, half Dodgers. It is so cool. It is such an amazing, because they've got there's a store that sells both Dodgers and Sox paraphernalia. And obviously those two teams have a storied past together and apart, right? Of course, the 1959 World Series,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
You can get a Dodger dog and or a Dicka dog while inside the ballpark.
Right. Exactly right. And they have a beautiful grounds, and you see, you know, it's interesting. Down one foul pole is the Sox logo, the other is the Dodgers logo, and you just feel like baseball.
Well, it's
plenty of parking.
Yeah, it's starting. People are getting excited about the White Sox.
Oh, they should be. They should be. These two kids right here. All I want to say is that Kevin and Lauren,
yeah,
are two of the biggest White Sox fans. Both born White Sox fans.
Ah,
and they are chomping at the bit for this. And they're trying to lord it over some of the Cubs fans in the building here.
People haven't played a game yet.
Yes. Well, they are good. They are the most approved team in baseball, according to everybody. So we'll see. Lauren's really going to lose her stuff if it doesn't work out.
No, I'm laughing because I'm wondering what Cubs fan you might be talking about, because I haven't said anything. So someone might just be feeling salty and thinking that just because I rep my team that I'm talking crap. But I'm not.
I'm glad she clarified that. I think that makes it better. See, that's exactly what I'm talking about right there. Did you hear what she just said? That's exactly what I'm talking
about.
Hey,
I never pick fights with Cubs fans unless they start it.
A little passive-aggressive.
Yeah, a little. Just a touch. It's just fine. I know. Yeah. But she was, you know, it's funny. Actually, this is a funny thing, because Lauren mentioned this when she started with the show, when we were going to our first Cubs Sox stuff. And we went up to Wrigley Field for the first iteration of that series was at Wrigley last season. And we were doing our show from the from a restaurant, right? Was it Moe's Cantina? Which one were we at?
I thought it was Barleycorn.
Barleycorn, yes. It was one of them. And
John Barleycorn?
All the Sam Sanchez stuff up there, which is great. Yeah. There was a thought that Lauren had, which I was concerned about. She was like, you know, she was wearing her sock stuff, and she was afraid that there was going to be violence from Cubs fans. And
me afraid?
And
Are you sure? Are we remembering the same story?
Yes. You said, you know, you never feel safe or comfortable going to Wrigley Field wearing Sox gear, which is funny because, I mean, did you not say that?
No, not at all.
Okay. So the thing is that Cubs fans never feel safe going down to Guaranteed Rate wearing the Cubs stuff during the Sox. Except for a couple drunk fights, which you see in the games anyway, right? And really crowded games, no matter what. I don't think it's any different. Is it?
If anything, I said I don't feel safe at Cubs Sox games because of how they've been the past 5-10 years.
Okay.
Well, this year it might be interesting because both teams might be, you know, trying to be get in the playoffs. So there might be some movement.
Yes. Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, the Cubs are trying to get back into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And the White Sox are trying to get to the playoffs with this newly formed team. So it will be it's going to be great baseball season.
Yeah.
Because, and I must point out, it was not a particularly great football season.
Yeah, that's right.
And
basketball, not so good
either. Basketball, really? I know they're in development.
Yeah.
But they have a team where every day there's another headline about futility.
Someone's being hurt.
Right. There's another guy's out 6 to 8 weeks.
Well, the Blackhawks are doing well, though. They're going to make the playoffs.
All right. Now, the Blackhawks return to the ice on Saturday night.
Yeah, they're going
to
make the playoffs.
And then they're on the road, I think, on Tuesday night. And then they're back here at the United Center. We'll be there on Wednesday night. And those three games are critical because they've got to keep up the momentum that they had.
Right.
All right. Okay, Lauren, it's time now to do the traffic and the weather.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Mike Monaco is in the studio with us. He just lost News or Ruse in what is absolutely considered to be one of the more tragic and humiliating losses in the history of the game.
Well, that'll happen.
Yeah. There is, this is interesting. Do you see this today? The Tribune did this story about the 16 cult pizzas in Chicago.
No, I didn't see
that. That you don't know about unless you're part of the cult.
Really?
Yeah.
Which do they say is the best?
All right. So they said, now, for example, there are just places that only people, everybody has their favorite place. But if your favorite place isn't one of the big places, it creates a cult of pizza. It's the idea. Christopher Borelli wrote this for the Tribune.
People love pizza.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who does?
It's America's food.
I know. I mean, people go, Chicago, they love pizza. Yeah. They love pizza everywhere. Yeah. People are willing to put up with Domino's, right?
Yeah, I mean, they have, all the food groups, all the important food groups.
Right. I like when Domino's has a commercial, like, if we really screw this up, we're going to give you a new one next time around. that's my favorite commercial.
We don't care.
All of a sudden, there's
somebody. I don't care. We'll give you a new one. If you don't like it, we'll give you a new one.
Yeah, but next time.
Next time.
Not necessarily this time.
We'll bring it out to you.
Yeah, and then they bring it. Hey, we brought you your free pizza. People are like, yeah, okay. All right. Some of the ones. Bill's Pizza and Pub in Mundelein.
Oh.
It's like a hunting lodge. Dark pews. Right? Fox, deer, and raccoons. I kind of like that, though. Those, like, old-school restaurants.
Yeah.
And then there's...
What is special about the pizza?
Double-decker pizza.
Double-decker pizza.
Yes, which Bill, because there's really a Bill, claims to have invented.
Double-decker.
Yeah.
So two layers...
Tavern-style cut.
Two layers of crust?
Yes. Oh, so sauce too. Is somewhat like gravy, although some people call it gravy.
Yeah.
You grew up in an Italian household. You call it sauce?
No, we called it sauce.
Yeah.
We didn't call it gravy.
You're classy. Yeah. The onions curl through the amorphous globs of cheese. Oh, think about that.
Hmm.
It's supposed to be, all right, so that's one of those places.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Then also, if you, near Midway Airport, 63rd.
Yeah.
Midway Pizza Corridor, as they call it. The pizza places have always been there, and they've been there forever. They do not budge. Palermo's on 63rd Street.
Okay.
Founded in 1961, Sicilian immigrants. Son Frank now runs it. Palermo's. I've heard of Palermo's. Never gone to Palermo's.
I've not been there either. I should go there. I go to Midway all the time.
When I go to Midway, though, I'm always nervous.
Palermo's is outstanding. Multiple times, yes.
There you go. All right. Anybody can jump in here if they're familiar with any of these.
Okay.
312-981-7200 as well. Let's see then. There was a place when I was a kid that we used to go to up near, right on the Evanston-Chicago border.
Yeah.
Right in what now is a place where you're automatically going to be shot with the minute that you step north of Howard Street.
Oh, that's not
But there was
true.
This little curly area north of Howard Street right by that cemetery. You know, that's right at the lakefront.
Yeah.
That cemetery that goes on forever.
Yeah.
That I don't ever see anybody in when you drive by it. There's never a funeral. I don't know what goes on. I think that cemetery might just be an apparition. It might be, I might imagine it's there. It's a place called the Villa Gorgente.
Villa Gorgente?
Gorgente. G-H-E-R-E. I don't even know. And you'd walk in and there was like a plastic fake fountain with water that wasn't really the color of water that's constantly recycling through it. Mm. And then there might have been a guy who was dead at the table. But the pizza was so damn good.
Ah, well, there you go.
You just couldn't.
Is that on the list?
No, I think they closed.
You know, three of my relatives, I think, were in the business of making pizza at one time. It's no longer. I don't think so. But they're. It was pretty good pizza on the far south side. Duke's 101 Club. It's one of my uncles.
Oh.
My Aunt Minnie and Uncle Duke had Duke's 101 Club.
The one in the north side that everybody, this is the, in terms of the call, it would be Pequod's.
Oh, yeah. Now. Pequod's is very.
Yeah. Because they do something to the crust to make it, like they set it on fire. And they make it. It's the crust has a very. It's almost like they take a flame, like they take a blowtorch to the crust right before they put it in the box.
Some very faithful folks who like Pequod's.
I go extra cheese when I get it.
Yeah, that actually helps
because sometimes it's a little too bready.
Yeah, no, it's good though.
Yeah, maybe a little extra sauce.
Kevin sounds like he's.
Oh yeah, this is excellent.
He's knowledgeable.
There's Lefty's Pizza Kitchen in Wilmette.
Lefty's Pizza Kitchen in Wilmette.
Yeah. You still live on the North Shore.
Never went to Lefty's.
Bert's Pizza Place in Morton Grove.
Didn't that close?
It's reopened.
Oh, wow.
Now, Bert's, I went to as a kid. I mean, back in when I was in high school, we would go up there.
In Morton Grove?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard big things about Bert's.
Yeah, I was always jammed.
Really?
Super thin crust. That's the thing. Everybody
thinks. I gotta write this down. Bert's
Bourdain
in Morton
Grove. Went there.
Everybody thinks that Chicago's about deep dish and all that and thick crust. No. It's the thin. It's like the tavern style or the, you know, that's the stuff that really goes. I think you go up to back in the day, you go up to Highwood, you walk into any of those places, it'd be a bar.
They make the
best pizza.
That's true.
You know what I also love? I looked at Armand's Pizza. I know there's a bunch of them. You know, it's Western Suburbs, and they got a couple places downtown to sell. But they sell it by the yard. It's not like a round pie. Mm. It's like it comes in a box that is 1 yard long,
all right,
and like 14 inches wide. It's a little bit of a hassle in the car. I'm not gonna lie, but it is.
I tend to like the Lou Malnati's deep dish. That's a pretty good one.
Bob's in Pilsen.
Bob's in Pilsen.
Sticks and Bricks in Armour Square Park.
I drive past this all the time, leaving Sox games, and I always think to myself, I should try that.
Sticks and Bricks?
Apparently it's outstanding.
Or Bob's?
The one in Armour Square Park.
Yeah,
it's right.
Yeah.
It's just it's new. It's only been there a couple of years. But you can walk there after a Sox game.
Well, there you go.
And sometimes I have to walk after a Sox game for a while.
Most of the time.
Right. Yeah. And then I go and I eat something and then I call an Uber.
Yeah.
That's how I go. Right. And pick up the car next day. Because
yeah,
they had that. I've noticed.
That's smart.
I will say this.
Leave your car there.
I am amazed at how many cars are in the lot at like 9 o'clock the next morning.
The game is over.
And they've got personnel there going, yeah, your car's right over here.
We're protecting.
Yeah, your car's right
we're
over
protecting
there.
Protecting it.
Because they will tow that car by like 11.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, but like you have until like 11 o'clock to get your car out.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, okay.
For those who've actually gone through this. Now, Forno Rosso, which is in, where is Forno Rosso? It's in Dunning. And then Rosangela's in Evergreen Park. Barone's in Glen Ellen.
Do they rank any of these?
No, they're talking about these are places. I think they're afraid to rank them because, you know, you know what happens.
Yeah, there's a zillion.
Can I submit one before we run out of time? Because
sure.
I just found an absolute gem. It's in Wheeling, and I just basically discovered it, but apparently it's been there for years. It's like Wolf and Dundee. Still a hole-in-the-wall place. Had it the other day. Skyrocketing up my pizza power rankings. Joe's in Wheeling. Check it out. Free ad.
Joe's in Wheeling.
Yeah. It's more of like a tavern, like thin crust style pizza. Kind of like a pizza you'd find on the south side. Outstanding.
But it's on the north side.
Yeah, but it's on the north side.
North side.
That's what I'm saying.
It would be that the thing. Barnaby's in Northbrook still shows up.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
My dad used to take me to Barnaby's.
Really?
Yeah, there were a couple of different locations. But that also has that thing where it tastes like something caught fire back there, which I like.
Yeah.
I like the idea that all of a sudden that, you know, you get the sense that, you know, there was
oops.
Yeah, like a grease fire broke
out.
Delicious.
Yeah.
And it does take you back in time.
Yeah.
Because those restaurants have not in any way, shape, or form changed.
Yeah. I took my sons there after baseball games, I think, Barnaby's.
To Barnaby's, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Little League action.
A lot of Little League action.
Yeah, and then the root beer.
That means it's cheap.
Yes.
That's what it means.
You mean inexpensive.
It's inexpensive, right.
Yes, that's right, Mike Monaco.
Inexpensive.
Yes. All right. Well, there you go.
That's good.
That's Chicago Pizza right there.
I wrote some of those names down.
Yeah. Well, it's the Tribune. I don't want to, Christopher Borelli. He did all the hard work. He did all the research. He got out there.
He had to eat all that pizza.
Yeah. That's what you got to do.
I wonder how much he weighs now.
Yeah. Oh, hey.
Sure, just wondering.
Maybe only had one piece.
Maybe
he's working out every day.
Exactly.
Maybe he'd come in here and he'd punch one of us and you'd have to defend him.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Mike Monaco, attorney at law. Thank you very much.
Nice chatting.
Appreciate you being with us.
My pleasure, as always.
Thank you for stopping by. And now the finals. Finally, the finals. Justin comes up. It's who's going to win tonight?
Oh, the best. Chicago.
This is the best film made in Chicago, Blues Brothers versus Ferris Bueller's Day Off. You're going to find out the answer coming your way after the news at the top of the hour.